Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rashid Salam, your host and your engineer for tonight's show, along with my co-host, Instructor Abdul Shaheed from Atlanta, Georgia. We basically, or in our last session, let me open up in prayer. And Brother Abdul Shaheed, could you open us up in prayer, if you don't mind, please?
Certainly will. Ubilamini Shaytan Raji. Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Rahim Aliki Yom Nidin. Iyaka Na'abudu Wa Iyaka Nasta'in. Ihdina Sirata Al-Mustaqim. Siraja Al-Ladina An'amta Alayhim. Ghayril Maghdubi Alayhim. Wa Ad-Dallin. Amen.
Amen. As again, this is our pre-Ramadan and beyond session that we've been hosting for the last 3 weeks. We're in our third session, and tonight's show, we still have our wonderful convener, national convener of imams, Imam Dr. Bashir Ali. And for those of you who don't know who he is, let me just open up real quickly and share a little bit about his biography and who he is and what he's done. Imam Dr. Bashir Ali serves as the Midwest Section Convener and National Convener of Imams and associates with the community of Imam Wasdeen Muhammad. He has also been the resident imam and president of the Muslim Education and Community Association of Peoria, Illinois since 1993. He became a member of the Nation of Islam in 1970, and since 1975, he has been a student of Imam W.D. Muhammad. In addition to his responsibilities as a resident imam, Imam Bashir has served in leadership roles for community organizations, state and national professional associations, and he has also served as a state and federal prison chaplain. In his capacity as Midwest and National Convener, Dr. Imam Ali has had the opportunity to work with imams and other community leaders across the region and country to develop leadership skills, training programs, and community development initiatives. He has worked collaboratively with community leaders to create the annual Imams Conferences, Midwest Leadership Conferences, and Community Leadership Summits to address critical areas of community life and development, develop the institution of community governance and leadership, and develop the skill sets of Imams and Islamic community leaders. I can go on and on. We can talk about his books, but we'll take the opportunity now to introduce you to our brother Imam. Imam Dr. Bashir Ali, assalamu alaikum, my good brother. How are you today?
Wa alaikum assalam, my dear brother. How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah. I'm glad of me, brother. Just happy to be here and looking forward to this evening's show.
Inshallah, yes. I talked to the other conveners. Some of them may be joining us as well tonight, inshallah.
Okay, very good. Alhamdulillah. Well, listeners, let me just open up real quick, letting everybody know that this is our last session. A few staples for you tonight, those of you who are on the internet and those of you who may be on Facebook. We have an interactive lab this evening, a Q&A, so to speak, where we want you to ask questions about what you like to know, things that you've been on the back of your mind, questions about the sighting of the moon, who's going to be in charge of at least letting us know where to go, how to go, and what to do, so we don't have to be confused going into this holy month. And one of the things I always say, you know, why should we go into a month ill-prepared? Knowing what we need to do and how we need to do it are so key essential tools and resources that we need as we try to get our minds together, so we don't have to go into this month with anxiety, go into this month with misunderstanding. We, under one accord, and that's the beauty of the National Convener of Imams. They are putting us in a role where we can begin to be on one accord and trust. You know, we need to get back to that and get this coalition together so we can begin to develop ourselves and follow the leadership skills of Imam Wasdeen Muhammad, and also follow the good book, the Quran, the science book, the book that gives us an opportunity to understand the will, the way, and the things that we need to do to be good Muslims as we prepare for this month. So this program has been designed to help us understand the pre-Ramadan and beyond. We want to make sure that whatever we do this month, we should continue growing and developing. So I hope you guys have many, many questions this evening. We want to keep him busy for this whole hour. If he want to stay a little bit longer, we welcome him to stay a little bit longer. But we're talking about fasting during the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. And that's one of the first questions I'm going to ask our brother Imam. I'll start the questions off, and if he could share with us, after he began to share with us also the information and the importance of the Kavita Imams, the importance of going to the website and how to get to the website and what should we expect during this special month that's coming up, and all the interactive and meaningful commentary that he wants to provide for us this evening. The floor is yours, my good brother. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaikum assalam. I would just want, as I try to do, is always thank you and your team, your wonderful team, for the service you provide our community and the world. We know this program goes out all over the world, and we thank Allah for everything that you do and for all the good works and all the great information that you share.
Alhamdulillah.
What would you like to address in terms of, first of all,
we want you to address, you know, the community mams, but those of the some other individuals on the line may be here for the first time, what you do, who you are, the importance of what you do, and then some of the roles that you'll be taking and some of the information about what you do and how we should continue, as we say, beyond Ramadan. Continue to focus in on the national community mams and all the regional sections. So if you could just share with us that, most importantly, when are you guys, or when are we going to be looking for the sighting of the new moon? And once that happens, what are some of the programs that are going to be implemented throughout the month of Ramadan that Convenient Remams is doing? So in doing so, fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran should be the topic of discussion today, and we'd love for you to share a little bit of information about that on that science itself. So the floor is yours, my good brother.
Yes, sir, my dear brother. I'll try to address every one of those issues that you just outlined. It's a memory test, I know. So let's start off with the sighting of the moon. And before we do that, maybe let's back up to your initial point. The Conveners of Imams represents a leadership body for our community. The conveners itself, the concept of conveners was brought to us by Imam W.D. Muhammad. That language, the idea of people coming together as imams initially, and then he broadened the concept to resourceful people, and he wanted to make sure that we understood the concept of emahum shurabainahum in a larger context. So he started off by bringing imams together on a regional basis at first that became sections. And then we evolved into a seven sections and seven sectional conveners that come representing those regions or those sections of our community that come, and we try to deliberate and then communicate and bring information back down to our sections and to local communities and make sure that our entire community is informed on big decisions that have to take place relative to large community issues and large community matters. An example is the sighting of the moon for the month of Ramadan. And just as you have indicated, one of the things that we try to do on an annual basis is send out a letter letting people know that when the moon can be sighted. What is the likelihood of the moon being sighted from the science so that we know when to look for it and where to look for it? When was it sighted the month before for the month of Shaban? So we count 30 days from that, and we know that the 29th night, the 30th night, we begin looking for the moon, and then if the moon is sighted, the month starts, the month of Ramadan starts. So in that context, we do a lot of that work behind the scenes. We issue a statement relative to when the moon can be sighted, and then we organize throughout that this time period a system by which if individuals sight the moon, they report it to our network, and we have a network of imams and community leaders that we try to report on moon sightings. And so we have a number of efforts going on in our community. We don't say that we're the only effort. We just report on the efforts. And so any network that cites the move, whether it be imams in certain sections, whether it be imams in communities, whether it be believers that go out and cite the move, whether it be conference calls while people try to identify it, or other Muslim organizations that work with us that observe our criteria. You know, we have developed a criteria that has been recognized by scholars as some of the best criteria in the world, and that is based upon a Sunnah of the Prophet, in which we do a naked eye sighting, that was a Sunnah, naked eye sighting of the moon, and then we report it. And now we use technology to assist us to narrow down where it can be sighted, what's the most feasible place in the country that the moon can be sighted, and we also ask people to take a photograph with their cell phones, since we have that technology that eliminates confusion and allows people clarity so that we know when it was sighted, where it was sighted, and who sighted the moon.
I mean, God, what a blessing. You know, so can you give out the website, or is there a phone number one can call, or you suggest that we all have the website? So we want to make sure that our listening audience has an idea of when and how they should start beginning to make the phone calls or going up to the website. That's so important for us in this day and time.
All of our information should be posted on the website, and the website is IWDM, just like the station letters, IWDMcommunity.com, all one word, IWDMcommunity.com. And go to that website. We have a number, all types of information. We will be posting any announcements on moon sightings. And we clearly know that if the moon is night sighted, that we know we've already narrowed the window down to the April Friday. April 1st will be the night that we go out and look for the moon. If it is sighted, then we start fasting on Saturday. If it is not sighted, then we automatically go to the next day. So then if it's not sighted on Friday, then the first night of Ramadan will be Saturday night, and the first day of fasting will be Sunday. So that's just going to be very clear and very simple. It's either it's sighted or it's not, and if it's sighted, we try to present the evidence. The only challenge, and there's some nuance to it, so it's not a binary situation. There is a very slim possibility that it will be sighted on Friday, meaning that greater probability it won't be sighted, but there is a slim possibility that it can be. If it is sighted, it will be sightable in the west coast of America, on the west coast, and in the southwest section of the United States. But the greater possibility would be the next night. So it's going to be a lot of anxiety and a lot of people trying to determine whether it can be sighted on Friday or not, and we'll let people know no later than midnight Eastern time. That's our cutoff time, just so people don't have to stay up all night trying to wonder what's going on. We have a cutoff time of midnight, and then we'll inform the people as to what the status is no later than midnight Eastern time.
You know, that was the purpose of us designing the show. Myself and Abdul Shaheed determined that, you know, too often we have the anxieties and the worry and trying to figure this out and figure that out. We figured that it has to be a pre-Ramadan session that we put together that discusses all those particulars that you just explained to us today, which relieves us of the burden of worrying and anxiety. We want to go into this month and into this fasting period in a good state of mind. And the key to success has always been having a strategy. And that's why I was so happy that we was able to get you on so we can understand what some of the tools and resources that we do need to be able to go into this month in a right state of mind, with a good mind, good body thinking processes, and so forth and so on. So this behavior and wellness program that we're talking about going venturing off into is so very important. I just want to say this real quick for those of you who are just coming on the line. Welcome to IWDM Radio, the pre-Ramadan and beyond session with our host. Myself is Rashid Salam, an engineer, and Abdul Shaheed, and we have with us today our national convener of imams, Imam Dr. Bashir Ali. And, you know, we have a lot of hands raised here already, so this may be some of your regional conveners. So let me open up some mics here and recognize some numbers so we can make sure who's on the line. And we have, first of all, we have 617-272. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
My name Imam Talib Mahdi. I'm the convener of the New England area, Massachusetts, Boston, Massachusetts.
Alhamdulillah, brother Imam. Assalamu alaikum to you, sir. And we have another hand here, 336-324. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from.
This is Dr. Nuruddin. I'm in Greensboro, North Carolina, and I serve in the Mid-Atlantic section.
Mid-Atlantic section. I'm going to keep you guys' mics open. And, you know, matter of fact, while we do this, why don't you guys make a little brief description, and if you have some words to say to the radio listening audience, we appreciate you. We start with you, Dr. Nuruddin. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, let me say this, because, you know, every year we have discussions relevant to the sighting of the moon, and we've come to the conclusion that although we work as hard as we possibly can to try to start everybody at the same time, it doesn't happen. And so what the best thing for us to do when this takes place is just recognize the prayers and the peace be upon the prophet during his time. They didn't all start at the same time. They started when they saw the moon in their location. So that's the possibility of what was going to happen here again. So what we should do is be courteous and be respectful of other people if they don't start before you or they're not starting at the same time with you. But they're not fasting for you. They're fasting for God.
I'm
he's the one that's got to accept it. So we just ask everybody to be courteous and respectful of one another. If somebody starts before or after you. The other thing I want us conscious of, Ramadan is a great time for us to build better health. We know the fast is for Allah. But it's a great time for us to build better health. In fact, I do have an article coming out in the journal this week on Ramadan, also foods to consume during Ramadan, as well as some other things I put in there some beef broth and some chicken broth for people that they could have at the time of the suhoor. That would give them energy throughout the day as well as build proteins in the body, which would ultimately help build up the immune system. So those are just some comments that I would make here tonight. Thanks for the opportunity to be here with you all. To address this. Lastly, let me say this. I've been here now going on 10 years. And Bashir Ali has been our national convener throughout that time. And the progress that we've made quite a bit of progress here. Got a school running at this particular point, among other things that we've done in these various sections, and we've reported to people. But somebody's always riding on the horse. Somebody has to be looked to ultimately. And while we're unsure on all of the decisions that we're making for this community, Bashir has been able to convene us, bring us together, hold us together, keep us together throughout all of these years. And we have a good relationship. We don't argue with one another. We put the facts out there, we put the principles out there, and then we do what we got to do. Thank you for the time.
Alhamdulillah, brother Imam. Thank you so much. And let me get the name again for our New England convener. What's your name again, brother Imam?
Imam Talib Mahdi.
Talib Mahdi, very good. Okay, we look forward to your comments as well, my brother. Feel free. You have the mic.
Yes, I'm not keeping sharp, but I just think it's extremely important that that we look at Ramadan as our obligation, and it's really about the Quran, and the activity for that month is fasting. And I know you mentioned about anxiety, having anxiety coming into the month. I think we have to look at the other 11 months that we have every month and begin to do the things that are necessary as Muslims, fasting during those other months. You know, they say three times a month, 3 days out of the month, and so that we won't look at the month of Ramadan in a sense of let's focus all of our energy in this particular month and don't have that same desire or interest during the other 11 months. So it's really important to try to look at our life in the context of Islam and making sure that we're living it as much as possible every day to relieve ourselves from these anxieties. You know, back when we was when we were not Muslims, for many of us, you know, the idea was, you know, you waited for a certain event to happen, a religious event to happen that particular month or that particular season, and then you would drop everything and focus in on that month. And we don't want to have that disposition or that attitude with Ramadan. We want to make sure that we are fasting and doing the things that are necessary every day, really, if possible, but surely every month, and so that we won't have these anxieties that you described. So I'm getting that.
Yes, sir. You know, establishing and strengthening our core values and practices are truly, truly important. We want to thank you for that particular comment. You know, the only thing that we own anyway is our attitude towards whatever probable thing we're looking to participate in. So that's very important to take advantage of those 11 months prior to Ramadan coming. We know it's coming every year in the practice of this religion. That's why we call this particular session Ramadan and Beyond, so we can make sure we take those good practices into the next month and continuing to develop ourselves and changing our behavior patterns. And this recovery process that we talk about, it's a very special time. Brother Imam Bashir, why don't you just share with us some important philosophies on God's will, word, and way during this particular month? What should we expect, and what are some of the things that we should try to realize as we begin to practice this special opportunity and this, as my brother was saying, satisfying and pleasing Allah? Brother, ma'am?
Yes, and I'll, before I do that, I want to thank my brother conveners for participating. We thank Allah for their efforts. You know, we work together as a team throughout, you know, throughout the year, and we ask Allah's mercy and blessings on each and every one of them and all of our community leaders in this community, in this association. Everyone is dealing with so many pressures and so many challenges, and for people to take time out of their schedules to work together and deliberate and try to consider the best interests of our collective development is always a blessing. So we thank all of them, and we thank all of you as well.
I'll
just share this one thought, buddy, my dear brother, Imam Rashid. I think one of the things that I've been trying to focus on, and I've communicated locally and to others, is understanding what Allah is telling us in Quran. As he says, to prescribe this concept of fasting for us as he did to those before us, that we may come into this consciousness, right? And so the month of Ramadan is really about why we many times focus on the mechanics of the fast, right, of making sure that we can get through the fast. Allah is really preparing our consciousness, right?
Yes,
sir. He's preparing our mind. And really it's a test, and it's a blessing, because it's a whole life commitment. The concept of the fast really is a whole life commitment. If you undertake the fast, and many of us have done it for many, many years, and so I don't have to tell you about the fast, but I can say this. In order to successfully get through the month, you have to really prioritize, you know, we start off with our intentions.
Yes, sir.
And that's how all Muslims start the fast, either each day or at the beginning of the month. They start off with the intentions. And that's a preparation of our mind. It's a preparation of our thinking. Then we actually prioritize our life around the realities of the fast, getting up for suhoor and making sure we have a proper nutrition and making sure that, you know, that nutrition is going to get us through a day with the proper balance of food and drink. and then gauging our physical behavior throughout the day so that we're not overwhelmed with the tax of the fast, or with the taxing realities of the fast. So it's a whole life commitment, but the commitment starts in our consciousness. So I let go of this idea of a preparation of our mind. And for what are we preparing for? The fasting was a prescription, which is a commandment to us. So that's the first commandment. But the second is ikra, to read. So we're preparing. This was the life of the prophet. The fast prepared him for the revelation. The fast prepared him, put him in the position to get the revelation. And so for us, it's a preparation for our reading. It's a preparation for our intaking of the Quran. And the Quran is a prescription for our mission. So the fast is a preparation for our mind and our consciousness. La'allakum tattaqun. Allah then gives us the mission of the ikra, to read the signs in the creation and in ourselves, and then undertake this mission of a building and establishing the Muslim community life. And this was the mission that the Prophet was embarked upon, but it starts with a process of fasting, its preparation, a whole life mental, moral, spiritual commitment that results in a physical reality. The fast is a physical reality, so it's not a theory. It's a mental preparation for a physical reality that prepares us for a bigger reality of intaking the word of Allah through his creation and through his revelation, that then that results in a mission of transforming humanity through the community structure of Al-Islam.
Alhamdulillah. We see you just really explained our theme, fasting during the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. So that digestion of taking in is on the same level of eating, where we're taking in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, you know, it's just so exciting to have this opportunity to have you come on and to share this information with us. And we truly want to appreciate those particular conveners who are on tonight, as well as yourself. You know, Brother Talib, you know, we'll throw a question out at you that, you know, most time a lot of people talk about this relationship of, if we fast during the month of Ramadan, we're getting back to our true and original nature, that fitra that Allah blessed us when we first came here. If you could expand or expound on that for us a little bit, on what that really means and how we should be taking that into consideration. Imam Talib?
Yes, sir. I think the Ramadan and Islam itself, al-Islam itself, it gets us to look at ourselves. It gets me to look at myself, my condition, you know, how am I living this life? If I'm saying I'm a Muslim, and how am I living this life as a Muslim? The world, I'm living in the world, in an environment where there are many things that take me away from that natural life, that natural disposition, the fitra, that we were created upon. And so Ramadan is that opportunity for us to really take a stock, really to take a look at ourselves and see how we can get back to that natural state, to that baby state that we see, and that when that baby's born, and that discipline of that baby operating their nature, their natural self operating and obeying Allah. I think Ramadan is this time frame where we can take a look at ourselves or look at ourselves and begin to, you know, slow our life down, because for the most part, most of us are living a life that is just too fast. There's too many things coming at us. And so Ramadan is that opportunity for every single Muslim to take a look at themselves and see where their strengths are, where their weaknesses are, and to try to really look at themselves so that they can obey Allah and have a blessed month. But not only that, like you said, in beyond, and take whatever Allah blesses that individual with during the month of Ramadan to extend it for the rest of the year, and so that we can get a better sense of who we are, our purpose in life, where we're going, because, you know, we're created from Allah and we're going back to Allah with a consciousness, with an awareness that, yes, we've been blessed by Allah to say that there's no God except Allah and Muhammad's his messenger. Ameen.
Alhamdulillah. I mean, you know, that's a very, very powerful statement. You know, then I did want to ask also, Brother Imam Nuruddin, that the question has been that, you know, Al-Islam is for humanity. And so often we focus in on Muslims during the month of Ramadan. What should our role be with our community? What should our role be as far as our activities and our relationship with other people? Shoot, I know a lot of times we just hang out with Muslims and do what Muslims do. But, you know, if Al-Islam is for the whole of humanity, as Muslims during this time period, what type of special time should we be spending within our community and within our families and friends? Abdul Nirdin? Hang on just one second. I'm sorry, my good brother. I think I accidentally took you off. You're the mic. I'm sorry, my brother.
I'm still there. Can you still hear me?
Yes, sir. We hear you now. Yes, sir. I had your mic closed. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, the objective really is to bring us back towards our humanity, bring us back into balance. And for us, it's food, water, and sex during the daylight hours, the natural biological functions that have been placed in our body that God wants us to control for these 29 or 30 days so that we can have civil obedience in the social order. And this is what the imam says. The imam says, well, you know, if you're not going to fast, if you're not going to work on these appetites, then I'm very leery about letting my wife and my children come around you. And so there's a certain amount of discipline. Yeah, the discipline, our discipline, Islamic discipline, is spiritual first. Yeah. It's a spiritual discipline first.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately to bring us back into the role that we should be playing as human beings. So that's what it's designed to do. We should be courteous. We should be friendly. We should be connecting with one another this month. We should get together and break the fast when we can. This month we should get together and pray when we can. All of us should be reading the Quran this month with our wives, our children, or whomever we can come in contact with, and then we should be ready to celebrate end of this. You know, we should be ready to celebrate. So we too, save your money. Spend some of your money on your family and your friends. You know, give gifts. And believe me, our children will welcome this. But when we don't take that role as parents to build gregarious relationships in the society, in the social order, then all of us lose. Islam, this is a great time for us to maintain our attitudes. And this is a big one. Somebody was talking about attitudes. Attitudes is the name of the game. Doesn't matter good you are, how much ability you are, how much talent you got. If you got a bad attitude, you're a loser. You're a failure.
Yes, sir.
I don't care what else you got. So this helps us discipline ourselves so that we can control our attitude when we come in contact with people. And as the prophet, the prayers and the peace be upon him, said, look, you're fasting. Let people know that you're fasting. And because your wick may be a little short at times, but can't make that an excuse for you to be that way all the time. But if, in fact, you kind of get out of balance, let people know that you're fasting.
Yes, sir. That's that mindset that we're talking about. For those of you who just come on the air, this is IWDM Radio. Our topic for the night is fasting during the month of Ramadan and beyond. And we have our community of imams on. We have Abdul Nurdin, Imam Talib, and Imam Dr. Bashir Ali, who's on the phone as well. Now, we did want to make sure that this last session was our interactive show. And, you know, we wanted you to ask questions of things that you may want to know, have had heard information about, that you may have confusion about. We have our distinguished imams on the phone today who will be able to provide you with that information that you may be looking for. So we ask that you dial 714-816-4673 for those of you on the Internet. And those of you on Facebook, you have to call in and raise your hand, and we'll be able to recognize you in the queue. So we want to open up the mics right now for those who have questions, who may have comments or something they may want to say or ask a question of our conveners. At this particular point in time, we have one hand raised at this moment, and that's area code 314-833. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. 314-833. Okay, we'll go to the next call, the 404-202. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. And I'll get back to you, Mark Shahid. I know I did click over to bring you on the line, but I'll catch you right after this phone call. 404-202. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. This technology is moving real slow tonight. I'm opening up mics, and it's just not, you know, here we go.
All right. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
This is Amira Wazir calling from the Atlanta area. How are you all this evening?
Alhamdulillah.
It's a pleasure to hear your voices. And thank you so very much for coming out and keeping us abreast of what's going on. This has been a special series, and so I've enjoyed it. So, but let me ask the question, because every year we have a variety of responses about what time do we end the Sahur. So how much time before Fajr do we have before we begin to stop eating?
Any particular person you want to address that to, Amira, or just open to all three?
Let me just start with Imam Bashir.
Yes, ma'am. the Quran says eat and drink to the thread of light, right? And that's usually considered the idea of Fajr. And actually, in the Arabic, it says the fairy of light is the word Fajr. So we eat and drink up until the time of Fajr, and that establishes the end of the time of eating.
So now there's no need to, like, to stop an hour before Fajr. You could just eat right up into the Adhan?
You're going to eat and drink right up until the time of the Adhan, yes.
Alhamdulillah.
That's the Quran.
Every time I hear something new, I say, oh, okay, I'm wrong, and I'll start something. So I'm going to ask that question. I know other people may have it. It's a small thing, but it's a recurring they're recurring responses that are different.
Okay. All right.
Thank you for that, and it was good to speak with you all.
I think we have a couple more comments on that same subject matter. That Imam Talib, does you?
Yes, I just wanted to say, because she brings up an issue also. It's extremely important for all of us Muslims, to try to learn as much of the Quran and the guidance of Muhammad the Prophet as possible, and so that we can make a determination on our own, you know, and feel comfortable enough within our own self to try to better understand the religion, so we won't get that anxiety that I heard people talking about today, you know. So it's good to try to learn as much as we can. And I do agree that by the Adhan, when the Adhan is called, we should have really stopped eating for Fajr prayer.
I know Brother Imam Nuruddin want to step in on that particular subject matter as well. Brother Imam?
No. What Bashir is saying is right. I mean, this is
okay.
The traditions of the Prophet. Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. Okay. Thank you, Amira. Please press one on your phone so we get out of the queue, because we have a few more hands that are raised, and I need to recognize those who have their hand raised. Of course, one on your phone, Sister Mira. We appreciate you. 314-833. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Do I have to do this all over again?
Yes, sir. You got to do it. Mark, I'm sorry.
All right.
Technology wasn't functioning.
Assalamu alaykum to you, Rashid Salam, and to you, Imam Dr. Bashir Ali, Imam Talib, and Imam Dr. Abdel Nuruddin, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. This is Mark Shaheen from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis and the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say Alhamdulillah first and foremost. Praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. This is an excellent series. You know, as I listen in the substantive information that's forthcoming is really sorely needed in our community. Imam Dr. Bashir Ali, you mentioned in terms of the consciousness so that we can be more consciously regardful of our Lord and Creator. And so if you're not consciously regardful, it's going to be very difficult to have the self-restraint, the self-discipline, self-control, self-management, as you said earlier. The question is this, you know, because oftentimes we look at abstaining, I think as Dr. Abdel J. Nuruddin said, in terms of fasting from food, abstaining from food and drink, and if you married conjugal relations with your wife and all. But I think it goes even a little bit deeper than that. You know, Imam Muhammad talked about the five senses. And so what it is that we are actually looking at, these are receptors that bring in messages to the mind. You know, and Imam Muhammad said that we should select the things that go into the mind. What is that we should be looking at in the month of Ramadan? What is that we need to be listening to? What type of spirit are we should be inhaling or taking in, should be influencing us? Taste, what type of things are we should be experiencing in the month of Ramadan? And then finally, that fifth one in terms of a higher knowledge, in terms of what is that we should really be in touch with? And, you know, I love that theme. It's been a theme that I've coined for a few years now. Fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. Would you please talk a little bit about that? And then also what Imam Muhammad said, you know, this is one of the things that oftentimes is asked this question. I'll ask this question because I think it's a question that's a valid question. Sometimes people just say it, but not having really a deep understanding that the shaitan is locked up. And what Imam Muhammad gave us in terms of those seven gates is right there on our head in terms of apertures, openings, what that can actually take us to the Jannah, the paradise of Jahannah, the hellfire, and what it is that we should be looking at in terms of controlling that inner passion that Imam Muhammad has spoken to us about. I know I said a whole lot there, but any one of you all scholars can respond to the statement and the questions that I'm asking. Thank you so much. I appreciate all of you and be getting in touch with all of you. We want to have at the MGM Roundtable here on IWDM Radio the theme that is going to be used for the whole month of Ramadan, fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. Thank you. I appreciate you greatly and all that you contribute, have contributed, and will continue to contribute as very scholarly learned imams in our community. As-salamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum. So we can take turns, so we can start with Brother Bashir, Brother Nuruddin, and then Imam Talib. You know, can answer the question for Mark or portions of the questions that Mark gave, because he gave quite a bit of information. I know Brother Bashir is smiling big time.
Alhamdulillah. That's my brother, Mark. I call him the radio imam, you know. Alhamdulillah. it just goes to show you the depth of why we're talking on some of these issues. They have great depth.
Yes.
Yeah. And Mark brings beautiful insights and depth as always, as we know our brother Mark does. We can't obviously talk about all of them because they have so much depth. I'll just deal with one issue and I'll pass the mic to others. One of the issues that Mark highlighted for us was the one of understanding that, you know, while we're preparing our minds, while preparing our consciousness, is to be aware of our environment and place ourselves in the right environment. Imam Muhammad said, words make people, right? But this is what I was saying earlier in terms of Mark's comment. They were so broad and so deep in some of the areas that he touched on. I'll just take this one area. Just looking at the word environment, the psychological environment, the social environment, the environment of the messages that are coming into our mind, that is part of our fast. Mm-hmm. And so while we are abstaining from food and drink and sex, as Dr. Nuruddin talked about earlier, we're also putting ourselves in the right frame of mind to read the Quran and also to undertake the rigors of the fast from a spiritual and psychological perspective. So one of the things that we always, and I'll say this and I'll pass it on to others, one of the things that we always try to remind each other of is that we have to be mindful of the culture and the environment in which we live in the American society. And many times I'm bombarded with a lot of ideas and concepts, language, people, situations. Part of our challenge of the fast is to present ourselves as fasting believers and withdraw ourselves from situations that will detract from the sacred nature of the fast and the sacred nature of our consciousness. So I'll be brief in that regard because the question had a lot of depth, and we could go on for many, many minutes to address that issue, and I'll pass it on to others.
Alhamdulillah. Imam Talib?
Yes. I just think that, you know, it says that the more you know yourself, the more you know Allah.
Alhamdulillah.
So we know Ramadan is that month for all every individual to try to receive Allah's word for the benefit of their soul. And I think we, all of us, just need to focus in on ourself as an individual self, and all those things that our brother brought forward, we have to deal with all of it ourselves. So it's important, I think this is so important, to try to better understand our own individual self, and so that we can apply the Quran, as Allah blesses it, gives it to us, we can apply it in the right manner. You know, they said that the biggest struggle is the struggle with the nafs, our own selves. And Ramadan affords us this opportunity and this time frame to really take stock and look at ourselves, who we are, where we're going, what we need to do to be successful in this life and successful in the next. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. Maybe ma'am, Lord.
Yes. So let's, without a whole lot of whatever we can do. But Ramadan means burning. It means burning. It means heat. It means to be blasted by the sun. It means scorching heat. Abu Huraira reported that our prophet said, when the month of Ramadan begins, the gates of mercy are open and the gates of hell are locked and the devils are chained. But we know that the Quran is revealed to Muhammad over this 23-year period. The month of Ramadan is when the revelation begins, starts during the month of Ramadan. Allah gave us the Quran as the criterion between right and wrong. We know that too. It is obligatory for every adult Muslim to fast. If you are at home or there's no other mitigating circumstances that will prevent you from fasting, but we're all under an obligation to fast. So Allah does not intend to impose, as he says in the Quran, hardship on you. He wants you to keep the fast. He wants you to complete the fast. So if you forget the fast, you've probably got some new people on the line tonight. This may be their first time. If you forget and break the fast, Allah will forgive you. If you break the fast intentionally, you are to fast for 2 consecutive months. So if you, you know, you make a mistake, you ate something, you drank something, it's the third day, the fourth day, or whatever it is, you forgot it, well, you forgot it. Allah is going to forgive you for that. But if you intentionally go and break it, then we're told you got 2 consecutive months Or go out and feed somebody. Feed the poor. Free, during their time, it was freeing a slave or whatever. But many of us, you got clothes in the closet you don't wear. Sacrifice those clothes. You can't fast because maybe you got a diabetic condition or something like that, and your doctor won't permit you to fast. The doctor's telling you you shouldn't fast. So you shouldn't go beyond what the doctor is telling you. You should follow what the doctor is telling you. And then these other things that you can do in the religion, you know, feed poor people. And the whole idea is to sacrifice. That's what the fast is all about. So sacrifice something that you like. Do that. Hadith says during the first, and I'm going to close here. Hadith says during the first third of the fast, you taste Allah's mercy in the first 10 days. During the second third, you taste Allah's forgiveness. And during the last third, you taste freedom from the hellfire. This is what we're told. And also, these gates, as our brother was talking earlier, these gates, these seven gates. Well, the imam said there's your two holes in your ears, the two nostrils, the two eyes, and your mouth. And he said, you either go into heaven, or if you go into hell, based on these seven gates. So Ramadan is designed to open it up, give us mercy, give us forgiveness, give us freedom. But then after the fast is over, and this is what Khaled is saying, we got a hole. You got a hole. Keep your discipline as best you possibly can. May Allah will favor you, bless you, and I pray for all of you here tonight that he'll bless you, your families, and all of the people that we come in contact with who are God conscious and love goodness. That's all I have to say here this evening.
All right, those of you who have just come on the line, this is IWDM Radio, the Ramadan Beyond Sessions. We're talking about fasting during the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. We have the Imam Bashir Ali, the convener of Imams, and two of his conveners on, Imam Talib and Imam Nuruddin. So we want to open the mic up for Abdul Shaheed. I know you've been waiting patiently, sharing. I know you have some questions. I may have some questions through your email or phone. If you have anything you want to open up to or share with us, brother Abdul Shaheed.
Assalamu alaikum to everyone. Brother Rashid, we're just enjoying what's being shared already.
Yes.
They've
yes,
done
sir.
An excellent job. And our community is truly blessed because of this special episode we're having, preparation for Ramadan and beyond. And I think they emphasize the point that we need to carry all the excellent habits far beyond Ramadan. Don't be so quick to go back to old habits. We should not look back after we experience the blessing of Ramadan. Continue to make progress. Don't look back. Don't go back to those old habits. We would have developed new habits. That's what we should take far beyond Ramadan. So they expressed that, and I think that's excellent in all of them. And we certainly appreciate them participating and being a part of the program this evening.
Thank you. Thank you so much, my brother. We also have a hand raised here. We have a 219-484. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. Your question to come.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. This is Dr. Jamal Rashid from Gary, Indiana. In conjunction, I just tuned in when Mark was asking his commentary question, and what I would say in conjunction to all the profound addressing the question and commentary that Mark stated in conjunction to that, I would suggest that people recognize what is our biggest contender, our biggest enemy within, especially during the month of Ramadan, and that is our emotional makeup. It's designed dualistically to either be our best friend or our worst enemy. So with that being understood, then if we are diligently trying to focus on certain major contenders, I would keep in mind that our emotions, if they are controlled in the positive perspectives, then that, as Instructor Shahid just mentioned, it should be not only our major focus during the month of Ramadan, but continuously afterwards, in duration, throughout the year, and so forth. So in conclusion to all that has been said is to majorly understand that our biggest contender is our emotions, which I also look at it as being that jinn within that the Prophet, peace be upon him, referred to in his in the hadith, where jealousy became a focus point, and the movement of other words and words, understanding words, make people understand if our emotions are out of whack. And we know what all emotions are, if you could explain them one by one. If they are out of whack or out of control as our worst enemy, then that is our biggest contender that we must confront as diligently as we possibly can, with the help of Allah, to maintain that kind of strength, which is our original nature of decency and righteousness. So stay within our major strength, which is decency and righteousness, throughout not only the month of Ramadan, but throughout the entire lifespan that we continuously live in this day and time. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Can I make a comment?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Please do.
What does it mean? You know, Mark really took it almost to its final conclusion in terms of where he was taking us. What does it imply that heaven is open, hell is locked, and the devil is chained? Mm-hmm. It implies that heaven and hell in your life is tied to your senses.
Hmm.
The control of the sense perception will ultimately give you freedom from your passions for the fire. Imam W.D. Muhammad.
Amin. Allah Rabbil Alameen. Yes, sir. Thank you very much for that commentary. So any other question, Dr. Jamal?
Well, I was just saying, in conjunction to what that profound statement was just made,
yes,
you know, we definitely have a blessing, a most profound blessing, if the chains of our jinn is locked, in essence, that heaven is within ourselves in this aspect, that we can endure what it's like to be in heaven through this month that we feel is, you have that natural inclination, natural urges, when you know that urges, passions, impulses, are part of that being chained up. Because if we lose urges or passions and impulses, that we go into the negative frame of our negative emotions, then we are definitely in dire straits. So understanding all of that, then we know that it's very difficult in part of controlling that urge, that passion, and that part of our impulses, desires, you know, all those things are definitely major contenders. And knowing that we have advantage of it being put to a minimum, and we have advantage to control it in a positive, then that's a great, great blessing.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah to me. You know, we appreciate you, Brother Jamal. Thank you very much. We talk with you soon. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah.
Those of you who want to press one on your phone and ask a question or make a comment, please do so at this time as we roll through this first hour. I did have one question over here, guys. Let me get this question out the way real quick here. I did have a comment on my phone that came in, and the comment was about the Tafsir Imam Waqif Muhammad on words make people. If we are a new people and a new mind, I think this is to you, Brother Talib. you mentioned about understanding who we are, what we are, and how we are. You know, can you address those powerful words or words make people as far as the tafsir of Imam Muhammad? He said, we are new people. We have a new mind, and how Ramadan ties into that. If you could just share with us a little bit about that, we appreciate it. Imam Talib?
Yes, sir. For my understanding and hearing that we are new people, what makes us new? What the thing that has made us new is the Quran. It's the Quran and the example of Muhammad the Prophet upon him, peace, and certainly the way that Imam presented that the Quran to us in Muhammad upon that peace to us. So if I heard Imam Qasim Ahmed one time, may Allah be pleased with him, he said that he asked the Imam a question about his community, and Imam Muhammad said, when we learn the Quran, then we'll solve the issues of our community. So to words make people, we have to use these words that are in the Quran we have to digest the Quran, read the Quran, digest it so that we can become anew again. And of course, from a social point of view, words make people, I think the Imam was getting us to see all these external things, the languages that people use and the Hollywood and all that they use, to be conscious of those things, because those things will take us away from the Quran in the life of Muhammad the Prophet upon him, peace.
Alhamdulillah. I mean, alhamdulillah. Hey, man, Bashir, is a question for you. the question is, since we were a baby nation of the Nation of Islam, and what were we adolescents or teenagers during the time of Imam Wahdi Muhammad? And where are we now, and how do we use the Quran and Imam Tafsir to get a better understanding of our development? Alhamdulillah.
Well, alhamdulillah, I'll just tie into the previous comment on words make people and a new creation and a new people. Allah is moving us from stage to stage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And part of this idea of, and it's this new creation, new people idea, Imam talked about it, is from the Quran. It's called Khalqin Jadid. He said, have you not seen that we create the heavens and the earth in truth, and if we so willed, we could do away with you and produce a new creation? And the word is Khalqin Jadid. And so that idea is about reconciling us back to the truth, reconciling our consciousness and our minds back to the truth based upon the fitrah, this natural alignment with Allah's creation that's in our human nature, and the Quran. And so Imam said, we're a new people based upon three things. He said, based upon the fitrah, based upon the life of the Prophet, and this Quran, right? And so that's our progression. That's where we're going. And so so we're moving from that time of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad into this new reality and going stage by stage into a higher consciousness. And Imam said, actually, this higher consciousness is going to create a whole new mind that's beginning with the language that we're talking now, this language that we have based upon the Quran, but also how we think about the Quran. That's important as well.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. Rabbil Alameen. Dr. Nuruddin, Imam Nuruddin,
yeah.
we have a question for you. It's a double question. How does behavior health affect us during the month of Ramadan, and how do we take into consideration how to change that behavior? And the second part of that question is, why don't we pick up weight during the month of Ramadan? I'm gonna leave that one alone. Let you take that one. That was a twofold question.
Before he answers, this is Imam Talib. I have another engagement, so I'm gonna have to leave if you don't mind.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah.
Any closing remarks, Brother Imam Talib, before you go?
Alhamdulillah, thank you for the invitation. And inshallah, we hope to see each other or hear each other again in the future.
That's it. All right.
And Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak to you, my brother.
Assalamu alaikum.
All right, Brother Imam.
Okay, so now let me see if I can get this question, because I was going after that other one about words make people. But what was this question? And then we'll tie this together, inshallah.
Yes, sir. Well, you can take words make people peace, but they wanted to know about behavior health and how does why do we pick our weight during the month of Ramadan? So it was kind of, how does behavior help?
Well, let me take that.
Go ahead.
The reason why some of you are all are gaining weight is because you're fasting.
Okay.
So you have to get to the end of the fast, start cleaning up your liver. Once you start cleaning up your liver, then you'll start losing weight when you're fasting.
Okay.
In fact, you'll start losing weight, period. If you clean up your liver, if you detox your liver is what burns fat. So if you're not burning fat, it's because your liver is congested. You probably got a fatty liver. So
okay.
You need to detox your liver. Go to my website, go to drnuruddin.com, and you'll find something there to help you detox your liver. And that's what you should be doing during Ramadan. So let's go back here to the words make people. Our orientation tells us that our children should hear the Kalima, Al-Fatiha, and early verses of Baqarah before they can even speak the language, before they can speak. We are to grab that child as soon as mother drops it and whisper the Kalima in its ear, Al-Fatiha in its ear, and that first verse of Baqarah. Why? Why? Because words make people. So we stamp. We are to stamp from the very, very beginning these words on the souls of our children. Quite naturally, they don't know what's going on or what you're doing, but that is a ritual that we're subject to. But it's testifying to the fact of how important words are and that words really do make people. So this is a huge one. We know this. Juma Friday, as I was preaching Friday, you know how people today will come out and say, or even your children might come out and say, well, look, I got my own mind. Or somebody will say, well, you know the child got a mind of their own. Well, where'd they get a mind of their own at? Where'd they get it from? They ain't got no mind of their own. They got their mind from their mother, their father, their brother, their sister, the preacher, the rabbi, the professor, the teacher, the books. That's where they got their mind from. And those words that make up their mind are the words that's either going to cause that child to either be successful or a failure, a child that will worship God, or don't worship God. Words do make people. There's not a question about it, and we should start our children off with the Quran.
Alhamdulillah. So that kind of answers that behavior health piece right there, I think. So we're at the end of our first hour. We're running a little bit over, but that's okay.
Brother, I got to go.
No problem.
I thought I was going to be here for an hour, yeah, but I got another appointment I really don't want to leave my brother Bashir here.
Well, we're going to ask both of you for your closing remarks. Why don't we just ask both of you for your closing remarks, and we'll go from there. And inshallah, we thank you for the time and thank you for sharing. But you want to give us some closing remarks where you go, Brother Imam?
Yeah. I am so happy. This program is critical. For those of us who have the opportunity to get on whatever night this comes on, this was Monday evening. I would suspect that it's probably stationary Monday at 7. This is a good place for us to let people know that they can come at that time, particularly if they don't have something else to do, and they're going to get a good message. You're going to have somebody on this line that's going to be talking to them about human affairs. So I encourage people, I certainly will give this telephone number out and let people know what time it comes on. And hopefully you'll be able to pick up your listenership. So thanks for the opportunity to be here tonight. And Imam Bashir will be talking soon.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen. Thank you, my brother. This is a special session. We're on Tuesday nights, our regular night, on the science of health in you. That comes.
Okay.
This is a special session that we've done for the first three nights of the pre-Ramadan session. So we thank you for your time, and please pass it on.
So regularly your Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time?
Yes, sir. Those are regular evenings.
Can I give you a streaming live number where people can catch me on Wednesday night?
Yes, sir. Feel free.
Yeah, you all can catch me. It doesn't matter. You can go to any computer, phone, or whatever. On Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you can get me at www.gctv.viebit.com. Again, I give it to you.
Oh, very good.
www.gctv.viebit.com, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Wednesday evenings.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you very much, my good brother. Inshallah. May Allah bless you, and Ramadan Mubarak to you as well.
Yes, sir. You all too.
All right. But Imam Bashir Ali, Imam Dr. Bashir, you're all by your lonesome, but you want to give us a few closing remarks, and we thank you once again for your time, and thank you for sharing, and it's just been a pleasure having you on, and we must do this again continuously and be able to promote the Kabina Imam and the website as well as what you do. Do you have any closing remarks, sir?
Yes, sir, my dear brother. Once again, just want to thank you and your whole radio listening audience for your beautiful conversation, insightful questions, and profound remarks. And we ask Allah's mercy and blessings on each and every one of us as we approach this very holy month of Ramadan. And we pray Allah that each and every one of us comes out better at the end.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. We thank you so much, and feel free to let us know what we can do to help you, my brother, and also let people know that this broadcast is available it's being recorded. So if you need a copy of it to post on the website, please let me know, and I'll forward it over to you for those who may want to hear some of the basic information and instructions that we provide. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you. Love you, and look forward to talking to you soon.
Ditto. We love you all, Bell. I'll bless you all. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Okay. All right. That takes us through the first hour. We went a little overboard, but that's okay. Everybody had to go, and information is readily available through recordings for those of you who want to access it. We are on IWDN Radio. This is the Science of Health to You venture on Monday on our pre-Ramadan special on Ramadan and Beyond. Fasting during the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. So we want to go to questions and answers. It's still an interactive session, so we want to bring on our instructor, Abdul Shaheed, and let him give us a little opening and share with us the opportunities, questions that you may have about food, questions you may have about food science, questions you may have about what you be eating during the holy month. And I know there's a lot of things we're going to take into consideration, especially with the GMO seeds, the bioengineered ingredients in our food. We need to know what to eat, how to eat, so we can get the best optimal health possible during this very, very special time. We don't want to take in bad things into our bodies during this special time. So Abdul Shaheed is available to us today. So we'll let you open up, my brother, and then the questions and answers. We're still here. Just dial 1 on your phone. And 714-816-4673. For those of you who are on the internet or who are online, if you have a question for him, feel free. The mic is yours, my good brother. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. With Allah's name, merciful benefactor, merciful redeemer, we give all the praise and thanks to him. We bear witness that there is no God but him, and that Prophet Muhammad is his last messenger. We'd like to greet the audience once again with the greeting of peace. As-salamu alaykum. We have had thus far an excellent program, Brother Rashid. Excellent program.
Yes, sir.
Now we're going to add a little science to the table, to the deal.
All right.
In order for us to activate the human person, we have to consider the science. In order for us to activate the human person, And we're going to spend a lot of time tonight, pretty much the remainder of the time, to select those food that has been selected scientifically for us to consume, for us to eat. You know, Allah made a lot of food available for us to eat. And he made signs, he created signs for us to select the food to eat. Very important. In order to eat to live, you must use signs to select the food to eat to live. To be the best person, best human being, there's five keys to consider. Brother Rashid, we're going to share those keys, and we're going to talk about the food and then address any question people might have.
Okay.
There's five keys to consider, and it is our hope that many of us achieve and contemplate on these keys during the month of Ramadan and come out of Ramadan to put all of these things into practice. In order to unlock the creativity and the spiritual awareness of the person, one must consider and pay close attention to the following keys. Number one, must accumulate spiritual points. That's what we get in during the month of Ramadan if we do the right things. If we do what Ramadan said we should do during the month, accumulate spiritual points. That is, one must exhibit unconditional love. We have to get back to basic love for ourselves, for our family, for our community, for human beings. Must be humble, no envy or jealousy. Must exercise self-discipline and self-restraint. This is during the month of Ramadan. This is what we're doing. Number two, must be very forgiving, always forgiving. Can't hold grudges. Can't hold grudges. People did something to you 20 years ago, and you still can't leave it alone. You can't get beyond that. 30 years ago, the person has moved on, and they forgot all about it, and you still holding it. Let it go. Must be always forgiving, number two. Number three, must be filled of positivity, no negativity in you. Health is positive energy displacing negative energy in the human person. Disease and sickness, negative energy displacing positive energy in the person. So you must be filled or full with positivity. Number four, we must work to become disease-free. A disease is just like a member of our community have a sickness and we're not doing anything about it. Pretty soon that same sickness will spread to you. It's just a matter of time. If any member of our community have a disease, have a sickness, pretty soon we will have that disease too, just like our body. If our liver become problematic and weak and compromised, it won't be long before the kidneys be in the same condition. They depend on each other. They're interconnected, interrelated, integrated, and operate as one biological unit. And that's how we operate, as one community unit, one human existence on this planet. One community. And that should be our work as Muslims, work to establish one family, one community on this planet. So we have to be disease-free in order to do that. Because disease will compromise all of our enzymes, neurotransmitters, neurons. Our body won't be able to produce them. These are the things that keep us in balance and keep us on the paradigm of a human being. Number five, very important. We must eat the food and consume the beverages that strengthen the forces in us and avoid the ones that weaken the forces in us. I hope we consider these five keys in our preparations for Ramadan and beyond Ramadan. Continue to consider these five keys. And we'll continue, God willing, to make progress to really build that community model and really begin to remake the world, starting with ourselves first. So we want to just open up with that, Brother Rashid.
Okay. I think
we're
going to
talk
one
about food as people ask questions, and we're going to talk about also the different things that for us to be become human. We think it's automatic. You know, we think it's automatic just to be a human being because we got two legs and we stand upright.
All right. Sister Amira, I have your mic open. I don't know whether you still had your hand raised from the previous call or did you have a new question? 44202, Sister Amira?
My apologies. I thought I had pushed the one as you had requested. I did push it. It just did not register. So I'm going to do that now.
You don't have any question at this point? All right. No problem at all. Okay. Thank you so much. We have 219-484. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Yes, quickly. It's Dr. Jamal Rashid again from Gary.
Yes, sir.
I understood the great analysis that Instructor Shahid just mentioned as far as how if one biological organ is infected, in time it will affect another organ or component of our human body. You know, that, and I think he was alluding to, if he didn't say it, that our social unity is also connected in that same preference. That illness in our everyday life, which is worse, making people again, that is so encompassing that of a illness, a social illness, a mental illness that's infecting one person, even in from in the household to the broader community, it has a tendency to infect each other. So, you know, and the media's part of spreading those infections as well, and that's all a part of words making people in the negative frames. Yeah, so I just wanted to bring that to emphasize that what you just said, that applies so much. It's very deep.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Jamal. We appreciate
Dr. Jamal. Thank you.
Press one on your phone.
Yes, sir.
On your way out of the queue. We have... Once again, we have a public service announcer on the phone from St. Louis, Missouri, at the Show Me State, Mark Shahi. Assalamu alaikum. Mark, you have your hand raised. 314-833. Yes.
Yes. I'm sorry. I stepped away for just. I said it would be when I step away. Once again, assalamu alaikum. You're right. Sheikh Salam, and to you, Instructor Abdul Shahid, and to our IWDM radio listening audience. Alhamdulillah, praise and thanks always is to Allah first and foremost. For you, Instructor Abdul Shahid, I want to say I love the five. Points, and they're very, very sharp points to be taken in consideration when we're looking at fasting in the month of Ramadan and even beyond the unconditional love. You know, if it wasn't for unconditional love, I wonder how many of us would really love anybody. You know, if we only had to love them, if they would only be the way we want them to be, the way we want them to be. You know, just think about that. Ramadan, in fact, in the month of Ramadan, you know, it helps us to be able to build to that if we haven't been able to obtain that level of unconditional love. And this is one of the messages I always give to my family members when they have complaints against other family members and other people or what, you know, have that unconditional love. And then the other thing that I don't want to take up too much time, but I love that you say that you have to be able to forgive.
Yeah.
And I always remember a philosophical saying that said, what one is able to forgive, they release a prisoner. And that prisoner is you.
Is you. That's right.
Yeah. And so I relate that to what had been said earlier, I think that by Imam Nuruddin, in terms of Ramadan, look at the first 10 days, that of mercy, the next 10 days, that of forgiveness, and then the final 10 days, that of emancipation or liberation. And I wanted to add that to what Dr. Nuruddin was saying, because Imam Muhammad said, hey, sometimes we're thinking about after we die in terms of the hellfire. He said, you should be so concerned about that fire. He said, you need to get that fire that you got within you under control, which is, you know, our desires and our passion. But I wanted to say that those three periods where Allah is extending mercy to us as his human creation and forgiving us, if in fact that we do that, and mercy becomes a prerequisite to be able to forgive. A person that's not merciful, they won't forgive because they're looking for some punishment, you know, in regards to whatever it is, so I can't forgive them. And you hear people sometimes say, I can't forgive that person. Well, they're merciless, you know, so we don't want to have that. And if we are able to be merciful and forgiving, then that brings about the emancipation or liberation from the fire of our own passion.
Absolutely.
This is very important. So oftentimes when we say the liberation from the hell fire, we're thinking, most of it in our mind, that we're looking at after we transition that hell fire. Imam Muhammad said, don't worry about that so much. If you get if you can control your urges, your impulses, your passion, and your desire, which is the internal fire inside the human being, and Ramadan gives us an opportunity to do that, then the life after this life will take care of itself. That's all I wanted to say. I'm enjoying you always immensely, but I wanted to bring that point home so that we can look at this realistically. You see, and not look at it in a mystical way, but look at it realistically. This gives an opportunity to show self-restraint, self-control, self-management of the passion, the fire from within ourselves, and bring it into control and not be controlled by this fire that we have inside of us. Yes, and sometimes that's looked upon as we should see it as the jinn, is bringing the jinn in control and making the passion. Now, passion is not all bad, but the jinn is supposed to serve. And the man, the horse don't ride the man. The man ride the horse. That's the
move.
Thank you. As-salamu
alaykum. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for that good comment. I have a question here, Brother Imam. From a client, you know, they said they were not satisfied with the answer on why do we pick our weight. And, you know, you may want to allude to that. And the second part of their question is this.
Say that again.
About Muslims picking up weight during the month of Ramadan. I think Dr. Nuruddin did give a very, picking up weight during Ramadan.
You mean gaining weight?
Yes.
Okay.
So that was one part of the question. They said they weren't satisfied with an answer, so maybe you can help us with that one. But here's the question, and I think I bring this up all the time. You know, I just have to say this is a very, very special time for us.
Yes.
And the time that we live in, you know, we just have to pay more attention to what's happening around us, how we are being – our thinking process is being altered. And why is it being altered? And when you look at genetic variations, you look at bioengineering food, you look at genetically constituted ingredients, and when you talk to us about the types of food we should be eating, how the food has a direct reflection on how you think and how you process information, that's my question. Why aren't we more serious? Because they're telling us the food is genetically altered. So we have an option of saying, I'm not going to eat this because you already told me my body can't process it, but we eat it anyway. So what I'm getting from that is maybe genetically something's altered in our thinking process. And if you can share that with us and at the same time, you know, answer that question on why I gain weight after 30 days of Ramadan, I picked up 10 pounds, you know. But I think for the radio listening audience, this recovery process that we're going to have to put ourselves in, this behavior and wellness personality we're going to have to develop, we don't have very many options of where to get food from. And we have to begin to think on those foods which we know for a fact it's okay for us to eat as best we can, because we know the soil has been contaminated. We know the plants are contaminated. We know the animals are contaminated. We're talking about steroid chickens. I mean, you got chicken wings, man. They're like, you know, the size of my head. You want me to eat this chicken wing? But we know it's genetically altered. We know it. We know this. But yet we still eat that chicken wing. You know, number one, it's already cooked in bad oil. We already know that. So let me answer the question that you talk about. I just have a concern. We're going into this special month eating genetically constituted ingredients in food. What do?
Well, Brother Rashid, here's the thing. What we first have to do, I believe, what we first have to do is understand that we don't have our own mind. That's the first point. Many of us think we're not even sick. Many of us think we're normal and that we have our own mind. I think Brother Imam Dr. Nuruddin mentioned that. Who told you you had your own mind?
Yes, I know it's not funny, but you have to laugh to keep from crying. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly, because you know what created the mind? I mentioned this once.
Yes.
We mentioned this once. It is the cells that created the mind. The mind is the abstract part of our brain. It's the abstract part of our brain. That's why we cannot see it. It could be anywhere. Where's the mind? We know where our brain is, and we know the different parts of our brain, but here's the relationship. If your brain has concretion, neurofibrillary plaque, unable to produce neurotransmitter, unable to produce three of the neurotransmitter called acetylcholine, serotonin, melatonin. You cannot, and norepinephrine, that's the word number four, norepinephrine. If you cannot produce them, you will not be on the paradigm of a human being. You will make bad decisions over and over.
Brother, say that one more time. You have to say that with emphasis, okay? Please, yes. Say that one more time.
A human being is under control by hormones, enzymes, neurotransmitters, and neurons. You can holler, you can preach, you can teach, you can counsel, do all these things. But if the brain is not able to produce certain neurotransmitters, number one, acetylcholine. Number two, serotonin. Number three, norepinephrine. Those are the three main neurotransmitters that make human beings act like human beings.
Hmm.
And if you have plaque concretion blockages in the brain, you will not be able to produce them. You eat the wrong food. This is the relationship with eating food. Health is the mind aligning itself with what the cells need. That's what health is, a reward that comes from my cells to the person who has been successful at selecting the best food for the cells to use to turn it into those things I just mentioned. Those are brain essentials. I haven't even got to the body yet. Those are brain essentials to help us to make excellent decisions, to prevent us from making the same mistakes over and over and over. That the same thing that the reason why we can't forgive. The same reason we can't forgive. We're not producing those neurotransmitters. We can read the Quran during the month of Ramadan, but if you experience a chaotic eating, you got bad eating habits, and you're blocking the production of these neurotransmitters and neurons, you're unable to produce neurons by the 10 billions and the 15 billions every single day. I'm sorry to say, you won't be on the paradigm of a human being. Somebody can preach to you forever,
won't make any difference.
Hmm.
And
so
this is
while
where it
we
starts.
So while
no,
we
no, this is where it starts. So why we don't know we don't know, and we're feasting on the Quran, and we don't realize why we can't remember what we just read or process what we just
Absolutely.
Read or
can't
fall asleep. Yeah, keep falling asleep while we're reading and trying to figure out what's going on. So what you
yes.
just shared with us is basically the answer to that question.
Absolutely. You know, that's what's happening. See, every disease, there's no exception to this rule. Every disease starts when the genes are unable to communicate or be in alignment with the DNA, number one, and when the DNA is out of alignment with the three RNA, that's it.
Mm.
If the person do not have that alignment, and it starts with the alignment of the mind agreeing with what the cells need. That's how it starts. If you don't get to that first base, you will have a disease because of the other ones, misalignment. Every disease starts with a misalignment of the gene, the DNA, and the three RNA, period. I don't care what anybody else say. I really don't care. It doesn't matter. That is the reason. Gene incapacitation.
Wow. Well, the information
and the
really
food we eat
will
call
sure.
gene incapacitation. Why would the food we eat, Brother Rashid, call gene incapacitation? Because food
I mean,
we're eating, you already told us. You already shared it with us. It has poison. It has toxin. We're not in charge of the food. We don't know what all the stuff that's in it. Food is a large, complex molecule that must be digested. And you know what? Most of us don't understand the process of digestion.
Well,
you can eat food. You can eat the best food, but if it's not being digested, it's not being assimilated in the small intestine to the rest of the organs, to the rest of the cell by going through the blood, if it's not being assimilated, because for three reasons. Listen to these three reasons, Brother Rashid, why food would not
okay.
be digested in the small intestine. Three conditions must be met. Three. And just think about how many conditions that's being violated when it comes to African-American people. Number one, they must have normal blood pressure. We already have a problem right there, right? Majority of us, we have normal blood pressure. Why blood pressure? Because it is the pumping pressure from the heart that pushes the nutrients into the cells. You can have low blood pressure or high blood pressure. Then that means that the heart is weak, does not produce enough pressure to push. Heart represents the pushing force to push nutrients into the cell. If you're eating the best of foods, the best, if you got abnormal blood pressure, the nutrient that you ate from the food, got from the food, will not be pushed into the cells.
Hmm.
Blood pressure, number one, has to be normal. So if you have low blood pressure, high blood pressure, you have to cure that. You just can't take drugs. Drugs do not cure anything. They treat symptoms. Symptom is not the disease. It's just not. It's an indication that things are out of balance. That's what your body is telling you. Symptoms are signs. It is the way our body addresses us. It speaks to us. It's speaking to us every single moment, every day. Through the symptoms, that's a language. It's not the disease. If you don't do something about the symptom, then next would be a disease would be activated because you're out of normalcy. You're out of normalcy. That's a universal law. Whatever is abnormal must be replaced by what? Normalcy. We must replace normalcy. And we must replace abnormalcy with normalcy. That's what's wrong with the world today. We have all the abnormal situations going on, and nobody's trying to change it back to normal. We keep living with abnormalcy, and we're in violation of natural laws. Number two, the next condition that must be met, the person must have HDL throughout their system. That's good cholesterol. Why good cholesterol? Otherwise, the cell membrane will become calcified. If you have bad cholesterol, it will calcify the cell membrane, the plasma membrane. Why is that so important? Well, if the membranes are blocked, how nutrients going to get into them? Even if you ate the best of foods and drank the best of beverages, the nutrient must go into the cell to produce brain essential, body essential, cell essential, to reverse the person's condition, to make the person healthy, to be on a paradigm of normalcy, to bring back homeostasis. All those words that relate to balance, normalcy. You can fast all you want. But if you don't have good cholesterol in your system surrounding the membrane, your cell will be on lockdown. Nothing get in, nothing get out. You always see the relationship here about what we are eating or not eating that affects even for our cells to be nourished, for the nutrient to go into the cell. And finally, the final condition is this, that must be permeates. That's the enzyme surrounding the cells, hundreds of them. What does this enzyme do? It modifies every nutrient in order for the cell to recognize them, to enter into them. If the cell do not recognize the nutrient, they will be blocked. You understand, Brother Rashid?
If cells will close up themselves and won't let it in.
Yes, won't let it in unless they recognize the nutrients. And it's permeates that modifies.
Can you spell that? Can you spell permeates?
Yes. P-E-R-E-A-S-E-S. Permeates. That's the enzyme. It's one of the mighty 11. We call mighty 11. There are 11 enzymes called mighty 11. When a person have cancer, cancer is a negative enzyme. It's a neoplastic enzyme. You know what its purpose is? Yes. To destroy the mighty 11 enzyme. To destroy, seek out them and destroy them. This is how cancer kills the person. It neutralizes those mighty 11 enzyme. Start with oxidase. First, what is oxidase? Carry oxygen. Eliminate oxygen from the cell, cancer thrives in an environment where there's no oxygen. That's it. And then it's seeking out the other enzymes, the mighty 11 of them. So those are three conditions in order for nutrient assimilation to take place within the cells. If you can't do that, it doesn't matter anything about the food, whether it's GMO or non-GMO. It won't matter. Whether the food the beef or the turkey or the chicken had hormones or not, or had antibodies or not, it won't make any difference.
Well, now we know the importance of why we do this particular show. It's so important to recognize and understand. You know, sometimes, you know, people, they don't, when you don't know, you don't know. It's kind of hard to process what you're saying. And, you know,
I understand.
But if you hear, but you hear something that you never heard before, you just have to let everything drop your guard. Let nothing interfere with your ability to reason and proceed. Seek to understand, because this information, my good brother, is so valuable. Here we are going into Ramadan, not knowing how our body works, not knowing that these particular issues and normal blood pressure, HDL, permeates, this balance that's required for us to function right. Can we hurt ourselves during Ramadan? And before you answer that question, I have a couple hands that are raised. I want you to answer their questions first, but I just want you to think about what I just said. Going into this month where we're depriving ourselves of food and drink, not knowing how our body works, not giving our body those things that it needs, and not being in a normal blood pressure state of mind with the improper HDLs and permeates and the things you talk about, the mighty 11. I know it sounds like a lot, but it's a simple process on how we can get to get there, and we want to talk about that as well. So I want to ask, I have two hands raised here. We have Dr. Jamal Rashid, I believe it's him, on back on the line again. Dr. Jamal, is that you? Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Quickly. Yeah, quickly, I want to definitely address the statement about not knowing what you don't know. You know, that's important as far as miseducation. But, you know, in symptometry, what I found out for a person who is totally ignorant of biological science, and I'm referring to myself, a person who did not like scientific biological science, physical science, I didn't understand until I started listening to Instructor Shahid give it as plainly and as simple as it can be taught. That is a tremendous blessing, first of all. And secondly, you know, they have a page on that website, amsos.org, that actually gives you the, like somebody who don't know what to buy and what to cook and et cetera, they got pages on staying within healthy eating and scientific eating and living. They got pictures of it. On what you can buy as far as health, food sources, or collagen, for example. You know, I didn't know what collagen is, you know, but it gives you examples of what that is and what to stay away from, foods that are off limits. Now, how plain can that be for a person who is naive and ignorant of scientific information? And I say it like myself. I'm profound in social science. Not scientific or in the physical science. Social science deals with psychology and sociology. So I'm just saying that, you know, to replace the abnormalcy, you know, and with normalcy, why is that so hard for people to reject new information? You know, why is we saying, oh, the white man ice is colder, and we reject something come from somebody that look and sound like us? Why all does that come about?
That's the reason.
You know, when he explained that the brain and the mind are two different entities, that the mind is abstract. What does that mean? You know, so, I mean, it's so much fundamental knowledge and information as far as re-education that's given on this line here on IWDM Radio. It is unbelievable, but it's thankful to Allah, it is believable. So I just wanted to share that, and keep on keeping on.
Dr. Jamal, we appreciate that.
Yes, sir. You know, and, you know, and here we are going into this wonderful sacred month, and the opportunities for us to learn, not only just learn, but be able to share with our friends and our relatives, and not knowing that you talking about getting back to your true nature. Well, how you going to get back to your true nature when you don't understand what's taking place in front of you right now, you know? So the benefits of Ramadan really is getting back to Quranic script, getting back to common sense, getting back to our true fitra on what Allah blessed us with upon the island. And, you know, it's like, you know, I'm with Dr. Jamal on that one. You know, what's going on? So now you're showing us this behavior health. You're showing us how our thinking process has been affected with this disease state of thought processes that we go through, and how the genes and the RNAs and the DNA works together. And this one, people don't want to process that. I mean, I'm not saying people on the line today don't want to do that. But, you know, if you hear this kind of information and you don't come back next week with somebody else on the line, then you didn't understand. So that should be a concern of yours as well. So, you know, I look forward to those of you who are on the line to take into consideration. You're hearing from doctors. You're hearing from individuals who specialize in this particular field. You're hearing individuals who give you the basic nuances of how your body works, that same body that you walk around with 24/7, and you can't tell me why your blood should be flowing at the speed of light. You can't tell me about your kidney and your liver. And come on now. Come on, let's get real about this. Let's bring other people on the line who you can have conversations with after we get off the phone. AMSOS.org. Beautiful website. I'm first one to bear witness to it as well. Come on, people. Let's get real. We're going into this very special month not knowing how to participate. And this is the thing that we have to concern ourselves with. So we have 314-833. You know, it's Dr. Mark Shaheed. Our translator, Sheikh Shaheed, the radio man.
Assalamu alaikum. That's too big of a title for me, Dr. Ed Sheikh. I'm more like a milkshake here, especially when I'm listening to our beloved brother, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, with the excellent information. I'm going to ask a very simplistic question, and I'm asking it not only for myself, but for the radio listening audience, because as we say what it is that we're not doing, the question is what it is that we should be doing when it comes to the food intake that we should be taking in to make sure that we have the protein and have the necessary things in our system while we're fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. So my question to you, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, is simply this. You know, we take the suhoor in the morning before, you know, Fajr time to make the Latu Fajr. Want you to state what it is that we should be taking in at that point. You know, even the water intake and all. And then I would like for you to state in terms of the iftar, you know. The tradition has always been in terms of during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just generally it would be water and dates in that regard. And then you make the Salatul Maghrib, and then it'd be iftar time. What should be on the plate? What should be on that plate during the month of Ramadan that would be actually healthy for us, that would help to sustain us for the next day? That's my question, just direct. And I know this is a question that perhaps would be on the minds of most people because, you know, we all have had a regimen in what it is that we do each and every year. So how can it be better in terms of what it is we should be intaking in terms of food and also water or drink this year? Thank you, and I'll be listening. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, my brother. Brother Mark. Thank you so much. Great question. All right. It's on you, my good brother. That was a very powerful question, you know, and also will probably help you with the answer to that question on why we pick our weight, you know, because you probably gorge at iftar instead of just taking a light meal.
You're eating the wrong food and using the wrong fats and all.
Excellent
question.
Yes, sir.
Okay, when you first get up in the morning, here's what you do. You want to drink at least 1 to 2 glasses of water first thing. This started the digestive process. And then it washes away some of the repair that the person's body cells did the night before. Wash those things away. Rinse those things away. And you want to be drinking electrolyte-enriched water. Do not drink tap water. Sometimes people do not have the money to pay for bottled water. And they cook them with tap water. Don't cook with tap water. If you cook with tap water, and that's the only water you have available, allow the tap water to run for about 10 to 15 minutes. Have your container, 5-gallon container, and then allow the tap water to run into that 5-gallon container. So you let the water sit for several hours. If that's the only water you have available for cooking and for drinking. So the water will have the least impurities in it. This is what you have to do. But if you can afford bottled water for cooking, we recommend water like a Crystal Geyser. You can buy it at Dollar Store, Dollar Tree, Dollar General, the dollar stores. Maybe for $1.19, 20 cent a gallon, five by the gallon, because you're going to be cooking with it. And it has 4 of the electrolytes. You want to drink water with electrolytes. Don't let these people fool you with alkali water. Our body is not supposed to be alkalized. It's supposed to be balanced. So first thing in the morning, drink 2 glasses of water, at least 2 glasses. That's 16 ounces. 16 ounces. We drink water to add additional forces and energy to our body. Right away, you get energy and force. Our body operates through force and energy. That's why we eat food. So start off with that. If you have prepared the Centometer Therapeutic Ginger Beverage, then I will have some of that. So you want to drink your water first thing because you don't want to be drinking water while you eat. Because drinking a beverage while you eat will neutralize or reduce the quality of the enzyme. Will dilute the enzyme quality. So you drink no beverages while you're eating. You drink water at least 20 to 30 minutes before you eat or 20 to 30 minutes, sometime longer, after you eat. Do not drink water or a beverage while you're eating. It dilutes the enzyme. Okay, now food. You can prepare couscous for breakfast. It's easy to fix. Takes no time. 5 minutes. You're prepared. Ready. I would choose also sardines. Sardines has purine, and that's why the big whale of the ocean follow the tracks of sardines. That's why they eat sardines and anchovy, because they have purine to repair and replace DNA. It's loaded with it. How is the DNA going to be repaired if you're not eating the food that have what it takes to repair the DNA? Sardine has 9 of the 10 essential amino acids. 9 of them in one place, sardines. He has the oil, the fat, and protein required of a meal. Now all you need is the sugar and starch, and you will have a combination of all 5 food groups, starch, sugar, protein, fats, and oil. Our cell requires a combination of all food groups. I just named them. And since we are animal, everything about us is protein. We're not plants, we're animal. Protein. Everything about the human being is protein. DNA, protein. RNA, protein. Genes, protein. Amino acid, protein. But people want to become plants. They want to eat plant-based diet. We're not plants. So I just described to you the combination of food that we need to eat because we're animal and we're human collagen. We should be eating 75% protein, 25% starch. There should be more protein on our plate than starchy food. Starchy food means plant food, 25%, 75% protein. But since our parents couldn't afford meat, we ate more plant food. But eating that way is a violation to the health rule. And that's why many people have hypertension, because we can't use plant enzyme, plant hormones. We have to produce our own. And be very difficult is all we eating is plant food, plant-based foods. So I just mentioned farina. You could also use long grain white basmati rice. You should use the double burner method to remove the excess starch. Remove the excess starch. Starch is a network of sugars. You can also use Ghana, yam. It is better than potatoes, white potato. It has least amount of starch, and you should still use the double burner method in preparing the yam. You can also use noodles, free of eggs components, pasta free of eggs components, and you can mix sardine with all of these, and you will have in two items all of the five food groups. Very simple, very plain. Always cook with iodine salt in the food. Cook it in the food. After your food has been cooked and seasoned, do not add any other season to it. You don't know what's in those shakers. Could be a lot of impurities in those shakers if you shake it on your food. So when you cook it in the food, you are neutralizing any impurities that might be in those shakers. Don't take anything for granted. You must have a way to neutralize things, or you avoid them altogether. So I've given you some ideas for breakfast. If you're not making your own bread, use French or Italian baguette bread, French or Italian, because of the method it is cooked. It's much better. Do not eat whole grain cereal bread. Do not eat whole wheat bread. Take too many enzymes to digest them. You need to conserve your enzyme for repairing and maintaining of the body, and you will be filled with energy throughout Ramadan. Do not eat food that takes too many enzymes to digest. An average meal should consist of about 50,000 enzymes to digest a scientific meal. So our aim is to produce an enzyme surplus every single day. If you eat a properly prepared scientific meal, you will only be using 50,000 enzymes. But if you eat the wrong food, one item, one serving of one item could use up more than 100,000 enzymes, twice as much than it would be for eating an average meal, scientifically prepared. Then when you lay down at night, you will have no enzyme for repair and maintaining the body. Our body has to be maintained and repaired every single day. The human body is high maintenance, not low maintenance. That's things that we have to do every day. Because of these two things, our body must digest food, and when it digests food, there's always something left behind that needs to be removed by us. Our cell can't do it. We have to remove those things. And we have to be producing enzyme surplus, because then we will have debris-removing enzyme. Debris-removing enzyme, because there's always debris left over after digestion. And since we also have to go through a process of producing energy, that is called glycolysis, more debris is left behind, more soot is left behind, particle waste left behind. Our cell cannot remove these things. It is our responsibility to remove them. So to break your fast, yes, we're accustomed to drinking, to eating dates and drinking water. Every opportunity you have to break your fast, try to break it with electrolyte-enriched water. At least Crystal Geyser. A better water would be Evian, E-V-I-A-N, which has all of the eight electrolytes. At least some days during the fast, you should be drinking Evian water. I do not say the other water that's high in alkaline. The body is not supposed to be alkaline. There's 8.5, 9.5, 10.5 water out there. Don't be fooled. If you over-alkalize your body, if you over-alkalize your blood, things will begin to happen. The body is supposed to be balanced. A good indication of that is the pH of our blood, 7.2, 7.4. And that's an indication of the food we should eat and the water we should drink and the beverage we should be drinking, the pH of it. pH balance is very important. Do not take it for granted. There's an enforcer called the pH police inside of us already. Streptococcus is the pH police. The pH gets out of balance, it goes crazy. And it comes out and wreak havoc. No joke.
All right.
So,
but two questions.
Things to break your fast with in terms of fruit, because we should be avoiding citrus fruits. And here are the citrus fruits to avoid. Many people are accustomed to eating them. The acid from citrus fruit is too strong for our cells. That's citrus acid. Here's the thing about citrus acid. Our body already produced citrus acid through the Krebs cycle. That's process of producing energy. And the byproduct is citrus acid. If we consume any additional citrus acid, it will inhibit iron from going into the cell. That's one of those very important nutrients, iron. It is iron that must be attached to that protein in globin, in the hemoglobin, to give our red blood cells the power, the pressure, the speed that the cells need to carry the oxygen. If you don't believe what I'm saying, just keep doing what you're doing. But if you want to have energy throughout Ramadan, avoid eating citrus fruit, apples, oranges, peaches, pears, limes, lemons, strawberries, cherries. Avoid them. Think about tropical fruits, pineapple, papaya, soursop, watermelon, honeydew melon. These melons, these things, they have the least amount of acid, strong acid. So those are better. Break your fast with pineapple. You also have the AP enzyme, and we'll talk about that at another time. Very important. Break your fast with water, electrolyte-enriched water, and a slice of pineapple. If a person have cancer, avoid eating dates. I know we have this tradition, but I'm telling you scientifically, dates are very acidic, and they're sweet. It'll be energy for the neuroplastic enzyme called cancer to spread.
Wow.
Also eating for our condition. We have to take into consideration our condition. If we have certain conditions, you have to avoid certain foods.
Dates are bad for individuals who've had some traces or some potential, like prostate cancer and other types of cancer. You shouldn't eat dates.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
No.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. If they have diabetes, the dates going to jack up their glucose level because they're very sweet. What makes fruit and vegetables sweet, there's a substance called glucoside. The more glucoside the plant has, the sweeter it would be. The less glucoside a plant has, the bitter it would be. Think about that. Isn't that amazing? Those are clues for us?
Wow.
The less glucoside a plant has, the bitter it would be. And when it comes to healing and health, bitter is better. Even though we love the sweet things. And what the Quran says, Allah said in the Quran, you might love something sweet, but it might not be good for you.
Right.
And you hate the bitter stuff. We hate the bitter taste of medicine. We hate the bitter stuff.
Yeah,
but it could be good for you.
Now,
bitter
cool.
is better. And
can,
that's a scientific reason why that is the case.
Can you explain to us what couscous is?
What is there again?
Couscous
is kind of like ground rice. It's another starch. It's good if you don't have, if the person do not have hypertension, then it's good to use couscous as one of your starchy foods, as your starch component.
Okay.
If the person do not have hypertension.
Okay. Now, you mentioned
if they have hypertension, avoid couscous because the blood will have to be raised. The blood pressure will be raised to push the nutrients from couscous into the cells. This is why, because it's a starchy food. It takes more pressure to push starch into the cells.
Okay. Now, you mentioned a double burner. When you say that, what are you referring to? I want to ask you one other question before we get ready to close
okay.
down here.
The double burner method. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
The double burner method is the way we cook starchy foods to eliminate the starch, because starch is could be problematic.
Okay.
What starch do? Starch have gluey. Starch have gluey substance because it's a plant. It has gluey substance. And that gluey substance in us will cause amyloidosis. What is that? It's gluey starchy stuff sticking in your small intestine. And we in our small intestine, the substance, the structure that atomize, turn the nutrient back into atom, because this is what must happen. Those structures called villi, they're called villi.
Right.
They are the structure that atomize our food, turn them back into atoms, ions, or nutrients.
That's like a
if they are stuck together with the gluey substance from starch, then your food would not be atomized in the small intestine.
So you can destroy your villi with that type of thing too, right?
Absolutely. You know, they're very sticky substance. They get stuck everywhere. you can have all kind of problems, digestive problems, because of amyloidosis, too much starch, sticking together.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like mucilage. This is why we use the double burning method. You have two pots of water boiling on the stove, and you add your iodine salt. Always cook with iodine salt. Salt is very, very important. Don't take it for granted. Many of us have been told by our doctor, wash our salt. And we interpret that as, to mean, don't use salt. You can't interpret it like that. Cannot do it. If you don't use salt, you will have symptoms, and you will activate a disease. But you have to use the correct salt. That's iodine salt. Table salt with iodine. Common table salt with iodine. You heard me say that about 3 or 4 times. That's the emphasis.
Yes, sir.
If you use the wrong salt, then that sets you up for all kind of diseases. So you have two pots of water boiling on the stove at the same time, and you have the salt in both of them. And then you take your potatoes or your long grain basmati rice or whatever starchy food that you're cooking, the small potato, a yam, and you place that in one of the pots. And once it's been cooking for a while, say 25, 30 minutes, then you see all the foam come up to the top, the starch, the foam. You want to pull that off. You take it to your sink, turn the tap water on, the cold tap water, and you could drain that off. The tap water prevent you from getting steam. It will reduce the temperature from the steam by just letting the cold tap water run. And that's something that's smart. I learned something
the
other day.
Yes, sir.
So that's what you do, and you won't be burnt by the steam. And you drain that water out. And then now you already have the other water that was boiling at the same time. Now you take that water and you pour it in your boiler, and you continue to boil whatever you're cooking, the starch,
got
the food
it, okay.
that you're cooking.
Got it.
Reduce the
all
temperature,
right.
and you're ready to go. You can add your canola oil and whatever other seasoning that you want to add. And use the seasoning that we're going to share with you.
Okay.
So for your dinner after breaking the fast, you heard me talk about eating food high in hem iron. That would be lamb. That would be goat. That would be bison. Those are the meats that's high in hem iron. Human need hem iron. Plants have non-hem iron. They don't have to get up and go anywhere. They don't need the kind of energy that we need. They do not have blood. They have sap. They don't have blood, and they don't need to go anywhere. They're stationary. They're non-ambulatory. The human being must be moving, must be kept moving. If not, your muscle will become atrophied. Atrophy will set in. If you don't use your muscle, our body is designed for movement, and we must be and we must keep moving. That's the first law of classical physics. Movement. Things must be kept moving. If not, you'd be in violation, and that's the price to pay. Okay?
That's
so
it.
Now we have the meat, which is our protein, and you want to have 75% protein on your plate, and then you can use green plant food, turnip green, collard green, mustard green, or you can use another starchy food, which was, again, would be a plant food, which would be 25% of your plate. So the meat would have the combination of protein, fats, and oil. That's what the cell requires. And the plant food will consist of the sugar and the starch. All plants on planet Earth have sugar and starch. That's their foundation. That's what they're made of, all of them, no exception. So now you have all five food groups. And I gave you a simple way to prepare your sucrose, your breakfast, simple way to prepare your dinner. And you don't have to have any special food for breakfast, no special food for lunch or dinner. When we're not fasting, eating lunch. You have any food left over for dinner? The next day. Eat
sure.
it. You know, try not to put food in the refrigerator. If the food, you put it in the refrigerator, after 3 days, it has deteriorated. It has no nutritional value. On the fourth day, dump it out. It has no nutritional value unless you just want to have a belly filler. It's something to fill the belly. That's fine, but that's all it is worth. The carbon dioxide in the refrigerator will disintegrate all nutrients after 4 days, 3 days, 4 days max. After the fourth day, you have to dump it. If it's still in there, well, you just wasted your money. It has no nutritional value whatsoever. We have to learn about these modern conveniences and what they're used for and what we have to do to make the proper use of them, use them properly. We must understand how to use the microwave, how to use the refrigerator, how to use the freezer. Drink water at room temperature. Do not put ice in it. Once you put ice in beverages, especially the water, it is no longer water. You change the chemical structure. It is now carbonic acid. It is carbon dioxide that makes ice from water. It is no longer water. It is a solid. It is now carbonic acid, believe it or not, because it took carbon dioxide to make it cold to freeze it.
Sorry.
You put it in beverages or in water, now you're drinking carbonic acid, carbon dioxide plus water.
Okay.
Same thing
all
with
right, my
putting
good.
In other beverages. And our cells need thermal energy. If you make them cold or eat cold items, you will compromise the cell. Health is all about taking care of them and protecting them. So now we can add other vegetables or fish to the meal for our when we break our fast. We already went over starchy foods. We mentioned some of the meat protein, lamb, goat, bison, chicken, turkey, and all of the meat should be cooked scientifically. And then we have the fish, all of the various fish, cod, halibut, salmon, you already know about, anchovies, you already know about, then the tuna, the salmon, the flounder, haddocks, perch, trout. Those are good foods, good fish. Fish is a protein that we can eat every day. The other meats, you want to interchange it with fish. Okay? So,
great.
I already mentioned the vegetables that we can eat, and we mentioned the fruits that we can eat.
Yes, sir.
You can make your own pineapple homemade juice by taking the pineapple, blending it with 2/3 water. That's it. Add nothing to it. And you have your own juice. Real simple. If you want to get the therapeutic ginger beverage, Give out our contact number, and we'll send it to you.
Okay.
And please make it according to the recipe. Ginger could be very problematic for people who are not aware of ginger. Ginger is very alkaline. So you have to treat it with respect and prepare the ginger beverage in a certain way. If you just simply boiling the ginger, you're destroying the B vitamins. And it's the B vitamins that are used for cofactor for producing enzymes. They're coenzymes.
Wow.
You need a vitamin. And most of them are B vitamins. You can produce thousands of enzymes. And this is what we have to do every single day if you want to have energy and be alert and be able to produce those three neurotransmitters, acetylcholine, serotonin, and norepinephrine, to be on a paradigm of a human being. If you don't have the norepinephrine, if you have more acetylcholine, even a smart person will have emotional problems. A smart person will have emotional problems. If you have more acetylcholine and you don't have serotonin in balance, even a smart person will have issues. We can name some of those conditions. You won't believe it. But this is what happened with people. We are controlled by hormones, neurotransmitters, and neurons. Our ability to produce them are the like thereof. So I shared a lot about food, and there are still some details about food.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
We have the vegetables like legumes, black-eyed peas, garbanzo beans, chickpeas, small navy beans, and lentils. If a person has hypertension, you need to avoid them. You know, so we have to eat according to our condition as well. You can't forget your condition that you have. You have certain conditions, there's certain food that you, even though they're on the list, you have to avoid them until you cure your disease or reverse your condition. So legumes have spontane. They're loaded with spontane, which is the plant alkaloids. And you have to know this. And they can make certain issues problematic. And there are certain high potassium foods. And you eat those legumes that are not on this list. String beans, English peas, butter beans, lima beans, those kind of beans, you're asking for trouble. They're high in potassium, and they're loaded with spontane, cause hardening of the artery and other issues. If you have hypertension, you have inflammation, you have cramps, pain, going to aggravate it, going to become worse based on what you're eating. Always use canola oil in all of the foods. I did not say olive oil, coconut oil. I didn't say peanut oil. I didn't say safflower seed oil. I said, yes, canola oil. Get over it. It is the best oil for our liver to produce HDL, good cholesterol. Very, very important for health. You need to consume unsaturated fat. Canola oil has the least amount of saturated fat compared to any other oil, least amount. Olive oil has twice as much of saturated fat than canola oil, twice as much. If you don't have good cholesterol throughout the body, your cells are going to become calcified. Once that happens, they'll be on lockdown. You'll be in violation. You'll be in violation. You won't be able to have alignment between the genes, the DNA, and the RNA. You'll be out of alignment. And there will be a price to pay because things will be abnormal. Abnormal. So,
yeah,
I hope I said enough about the vegetables and all those things.
Well, this program was for Muslims, you know, and we do have the Signs of Health in You that's on tomorrow night from 6 to 8.
Yes.
We do have quite a few people on that particular line who are non-Muslims. So there are some things we talk about and some language we do use to accommodate those individuals who are on the line. But this was for you. This was a family affair. These last 3 weeks have been wonderful, and the opportunity that we've been presented to help us ensure that we reach the optimal health level that we need to. So keep in mind that we will be on every Tuesday during the month of Ramadan. Now, the times will change, and our public service announcer will tell you about that. But we want to make sure we don't interfere with your ability to break fast. So we will make a time change during that particular during the particular month starting next week. But we're on tomorrow night from 6 to 8. The Abdul Shaheed is on AM360. He'll share that with you. But I just want to say one thing real quick before we get out the line. For those of us who are on the line, we have talked about on the Science of Health and Youth so many things about the broccoli cleanse and the things like that. Well, I'll have an article ready for everybody tomorrow. As soon as I'm going to have 7 to 7, 7 to 0, hang on just 1 minute. Let me say this. There was the article that came out from Harvard University about this particular plant that eliminates viruses or kills viruses and also prevents COVID-19. Guess what that particular plant was? It was broccoli. Yeah. The sulfur in the broccoli. I mean, it kills viruses.
Boy, isn't that amazing?
It was. It prevents COVID-19. So I'll have the article available tomorrow. And we've been talking about this since the COVID-19 came into existence. You know, we have the recipe, and very few people call me about the broccoli cleanse. I mean, it's powerful. Very few people call me about the ginger therapeutic. So here's all this powerful information that we can not only share with ourselves, but share with our families and friends and help prevent the problems that they're having. And you have the way to master tell for us to believe it. Well, master say it. All right. Dr.
Absolutely.
So
we got master mind.
is what we need to kill the viruses. And not only just the COVID-19, but viruses, period. If it's done properly.
Yes.
So I'll have that information available. So tune in tomorrow at 6 o'clock.
Excellent.
On the program, and I'll make sure I get it over to everyone so we can have that discussion. And I'm on it already. I do the broccoli cleanse all the time, but I just want to share the information with those. We're going to take one more line tonight. We're kind of going overboard. It's almost 8:30. We've been on the line for a while, and we've been consistent with the people on the line. So I want to make sure that questions are answered. This is our time. This is our family affair time. 770-472, please state your name and tell us where you're talking from.
Assalamu alaikum. My question is, you mentioned a program that's coming on tomorrow morning, the 30th, at 10 a.m., and I didn't get the number, and I think it's coming from Jacksonville, Florida.
That was Wednesday. That program came on a Wednesday night. I think you're talking about Study Al-Islam, which starts on the 31st, which is a Wednesday a morning program that comes on. The Science of Health to You is on IWDM on 6 o'clock in the evening. Go ahead.
Sister Nisei Dewan.
That'll be Wednesday evening. That's tomorrow. Mark Shaheed will be able to share that with you just a minute. If you guys hang on just 1 minute after Abdul Shaheed makes his announcement, closing remarks, and Mark Shaheed will be sharing with you Wednesday's program that will feature Anisha Dewan and also Thursday's program that will feature Imam Fahim Shuaib. If you just hold on just 1 minute, we're closing out right now, and we'll definitely be able to answer that phone that information for you, okay? All right. Thank you. Where you go, Brother Instructor Shaheed, why don't you go ahead and close out and just share with people the possibility and more information that it's just strange that we've now beginning to have people tell us what we already been talking about, and we have failed to take advantage of this information and share with our community. Health-wise, we can help our own people. We don't need Dr. Frankenstein. I don't need Harper to tell us something.
We already if he were willing to help us, he would have already done it.
We got the science book, the greatest science book on the planet Earth, called Al-Khatib, the Quran.
Absolutely.
And it's telling us these particular things. So we have to believe in what God says and not believe in him alone. We have to believe what he says, and you're providing some of those tools tonight. So why don't you go ahead and close out, my brother, and we'll have the public service announcement. And
we certainly appreciate this opportunity. Yes, sir. We certainly appreciate this opportunity. And we just wanted to mention the cooking accessory. These are the spices And I hope people stick with these. You know, there's many, many spices out there. Don't, you know, be problematic. I would stick with the ones that we're getting ready to mention, just these. There's seven of them. I mean, we should use the small green jalapeno pepper to help our cells to produce the thermic energy that they need. You can use these pepper in almost everything, but you have to remove the seeds. Do not eat seeds.
Okay.
And then you have to remove them. They will cause appendicitis. Also, seeds have hydrocyanic acid. Another word for that is cyanide. All seeds. So you remove the seeds from the small jalapeno peppers. Basil, thyme, cilantro, coriander, iodine salt, and ground ginger. These are excellent accessory for us to use in our food.
Okay, we got small jalapeno peppers, we got basil, we got thyme, we got coriander, and what else? We got ground ginger, and what else?
Iodine salt, of course. Not Himalayan salt, not sea salt, not rock salt, not pink salt. Forget those. We need
the little girl
and
the umbrella in the blue box.
Iodine. The other salt would be problematic, and we'd be sharing information as to why they're problematic. Just keep listening.
Okay.
So those are the best cooking accessory that Dr. Nona has tested. Sometimes you have tested.
All right.
More probably tested, okay?
And we'll continue
to talk about food on all the program. We'll be mentioning food because food is very important. Some of the food that we didn't mention tonight, just keep listening. We'll add more. So anyone has a need to contact us, please feel free to contact us to get further details. Or if you happen to need a certified cytometry health coach, you will be speaking to one of the better ones. We have someone that will take their time and take you step by step to help you reverse your condition. You need a doctor of cytometry, and you also need a certified cytometry health coach. The information is just too overwhelming for most people, and we need to make a transition from where we are to scientific eating and scientific living on this planet. Earth has a lot of booger traps, and many of us are falling right into them. And we have to learn to navigate planet Earth. This is where we are. In order to be optimally healthy, we must understand who we are and where we are. Those two questions must be answered, and we can help you answer those two questions. So please feel free to contact us. Our cell is 678-572-7269. That number again is 678-572-7269. Also, please feel free to contact us through email at ashaheed2@gmail.com. ashaheed2@gmail.com. And Shaheed is spelled S-H-A-H-E-E-D. And please tune in to Optimal Health on AM 360 every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Excellent information that we're sharing. And this show is based upon helping each one of us to achieve optimal health. In order to achieve optimal health, we must be on the paradigm of curing our disease, not allowing other therapeutics to treat symptoms. We must cure our disease. Every disease is curable, every single one. It's up to the person that has the disease that will determine whether their disease gets cured or become incurable. It's up to the person who has it. Also, please join us tomorrow on Tuesday on IWDM, Blog Talk Radio, for another episode of The Science of Health in You. And we're going to continue to talk about the brain and the three nervous system. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss this. We're going to talk more about those neurotransmitters. We're going to talk about how to produce neurons by the billion. We're going to talk about supernovas. not just out in space, but the ones inside of our brain, supernovas, how to produce them. So understand what supernovas can do for us and what they're about. And we can produce them inside of us, not just outside in the universe. So please come. Brother Rashid will give you the number for a new episode of Optim, not Optim Health, but The Science of Health and You. And again, we'd also like to invite you to visit a website. Do not go a week without visiting this website. That website is amsos.org. Again, amsos.org. That is the website for the American School of Symptometry, not for profit. It is the World Center for Health Education and Scientific Enlightenment. Believe it or not, if you want to be empowered to take charge of your own health, you need to be a regular visitor to that website. There's a good chance you'll find your condition or your disease that you're dealing with on that website with more information that can help you to understand why you have what you have and what happened, what mistakes were made by you. For we not made, have made mistakes, we would not have a disease. That's what a disease means. We mean we made the wrong decision. We made a mistake. So learn what mistakes we're making so we can correct them. So, Brother Rashid, we hope and pray that we've done enough to share with people to have the best coming Ramadan, this coming Ramadan, to have the best Ramadan ever, to be energized, not only to remove the concretion from ourselves and sanitize our blood, but also to sanitize our mind and sanitize our heart, open our heart up so we can be more respectful and more loving towards each other. The Almighty has blessed us with everything that we need among ourselves, Brother Rashid. We have everything we need to change our life, but it is us that must change our direction. It's up to us. We have to do it. And we have what it takes. During this month of Ramadan, we can sanitize our intention. We can sanitize our heart, our soul, our mind. Remove all those concretion, things that's blocking us from being the best person. And at the same time, learn the science of how our body operates and what we can do to enhance it so that the mind, body, and soul are working together in harmony. That's what health is all about. You can't leave one out and put emphasis on another one. They work together. So we can create the balance, the homeostasis, and become the very best possible human being on this planet, doing what we were gifted to do and what we were sent here to do. So I think we shared enough information for us to have the very best Ramadan and preparation before Ramadan and beyond. I think it's a great success, and I commend you on your engineering and on your choice of guests that we've had, and also on your expertise being the co-host. You've done an excellent job, and we appreciate all of what you've shared and helped us to do. Thank you.
We appreciate you. We appreciate you as my brother. We thank you so much for your time. You know, we know we took you over 30 minutes. I get 37 minutes today, 38 minutes. So it's for you. It was for the family. You know, this is Ramadan. Yes. Don't forget, we will be here every Tuesday. So we're not going to stop. We said Ramadan and beyond, and we will continue to improve the information so you can improve your health. Everything is a process. You know, you're not going to get all this at one time. So take advantage of the things to clean your blood and sanitize yourself. Take advantage of it. Get on the websites. Get more study, more student study. You're going to have to do this yourself. All we can do is share it. Bring you to the water. It's up to you to drink. So thank you once again, my good brother. And we will open up the mic to public service announcer so he can share with us the rest of the week and some of the new information that's coming available. And I also hope you answer the question of the young lady who's on at 770-472. Mark, she's still on the program. So with that, we bring on Mark Shaheed, our public service announcer for IWDM Radio. Assalamu alaikum, Mark.
Alaykum as-salam to you, Rashid Salam, and to you also, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. I want to say first and foremost, alhamdulillah, praise and thanks belongs to Allah. I want to thank you, Rashid Salam, and Instructor Abdul Shaheed for excellent, excellent production in this, the ending of the series that you've had for the last 3 weeks here on Monday, preparing for Ramadan and beyond. Some excellent information. Thank you so much for that. And to the IWDM radio listening audience, we ask that you do stay tuned to each and every day for the programming. As just was said, that the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab will be on tomorrow with the very distinguished, esteemed host, Rashid Salam, and his returning guest, Instructor Abdul Shaheed. That begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio, The Science of Your Health and You. And as you just heard, it's going to be on the human brain and the three nervous systems, so you don't want to miss that. It's a family affair, so make sure you bring the whole family, have your pens and papers ready, open mind, open heart, and take good notes, and also engage Abdul Shaheed in asking questions. And then on Wednesday, it is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Small-Dean out of Miami, Florida. She joins yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And that begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. As we're doing an accelerated version of the 21 Indispensable Essential Qualities of a Leader. And tomorrow it would be the 19th of those Indispensable Essential Quality, which is servanthood. Boy, is that right on time for Ramadan, servanthood, and how essential that would be for the upbringing of our children. So tune in for that. And it's a family affair, so make sure you invite the whole family and take good notes. And please press 1 for any questions or comments that you may have. And then following that for our beloved sister is the MGM Roundtable. That is the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. That begins at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And in keeping with the month of March in terms of Women History Month, I've had all Muslimas, and so it will conclude with one of our very scholarly and learned Muslimas in the Association of Imam W.D. Muhammad, I would say in the whole country, and that's my good sister and friend, Anissa Dewan. Yes, Anissa Dewan, inshallah, God willing, has agreed to be on the Muslim Global Message Roundtable with me tomorrow. You don't want to miss that, so please get the word out. Your family and friends will be listening to one of the premier scholars and learned persons in our community, Anissa Dewan, and it should be very interesting for that hour. So please tune in for that. And then the following day, which will be Thursday, this sister learning lab here, which is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Quran Shakir. She's from the Jewel of the South. That's the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. She joins yours truly, Mark Shaheed, as we host the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab that will begin at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And we have, once again, a very special guest facilitator, one of our very scholarly learned imams, a forerunner of healthy male-female relations on a Q&A session. Yes, so you make sure you have your questions ready, and that's the only way we're going to be able to keep Imam Fahim Shuaib on for a minute or two. Have your questions ready. It could be pertaining to the 25 do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship, or it could be pertaining to anything in terms of Islamic courtship and also the sacred institution of marriage. We will have one of our very scholarly, learned imams, so please have your questions ready for him. And then Friday is Salatul Juma Day across the Muslim world. And if you're immobilized and can't get out for one reason or another, you can come back to IWDM Radio with our very distinguished, esteemed Imam, Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sayer, the longtime resident Imam of Al-Nur Islamic Center there in Indianapolis, Indiana. And that begins at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. And Sunday, our longest-running production is Words Make People. Once again, that's hosted by the very distinguished esteemed Imam Michael Sayer out of Indianapolis, Indiana, as he always have intriguing guests and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. I'm quite sure you'll find that production to be very interesting as we approach the blessed month of Ramadan. So tune in for that. That's each and every Sunday afternoon. It's 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. Words make people. So please tune in and participate. And then we get right back to Tuesday again. So we want you to tune in and bring your pen, bring your pad. These are informational productions that we have here on IWDM Radio. I also want to state that this will be the last week that we will, on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, have this time. We still will have a presence on IWDM Radio for the month of Ramadan, but we want to be respectful for the various time zones and the time that it's time for them to break the fast, for them to make Salatul Maghrib, and then have the iftar, if not with their family, but with their community. So we will be moving the time back, and that will be starting next week, not this week, but next week. So on Tuesday, for the Learning Lab Tuesday, the Science of Your Health and You, it will be 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So please make note of that, 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. That's next Tuesday, not this Tuesday, the regular time. This is for the month of Ramadan, from 5 to 6. It will be reduced to 1 hour. So you want to tune in a little bit earlier, and then you'll be getting this message for throughout the week as a reminder. Make a mental note or jot it down if you don't have a good memory. So make it a written note to yourself. And then on Wednesday, the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab will begin at 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And those of you who are in the Central Standard Time Zone, it'll start at 4 o'clock for you. And those who are on the Pacific Coast Time, it will be 2 o'clock your time. And it will be for 1 hour. So please take note, make note for that. And then Thursday, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, which is generally a two-hour production, it will be reduced to just 1 hour. And that would be at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And just want to say as a footnote that those two productions, both the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab and the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, will be centered around Ramadan in terms of the effect that Ramadan can have on our marriage and family life. So you don't want to miss that. There's going to be some great topics that Allah has blessed me to be able to produce, and the information I think would be very valuable to you on those learning labs that will be centered around Ramadan. And you might ask, what about the MGM Roundtable? Well, the MGM Roundtable, we're going to move that to Saturday afternoon instead of Wednesday, just for the month of Ramadan, so we still have a present. Some of the outstanding intellects that you heard tonight in our community, I will be sending invitations to them as the theme for IWDM Radio for the whole month of Ramadan is fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. This has been a theme that I've used for the last 4 years. I think this will be about the fifth year that I've used this theme, and I will have some of the most outstanding intellects in our community and sending them an invitation to join me. And that would be at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It'll be high noon Central Standard Time and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time for the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And we'll be dialoguing with my guests in terms of fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. So you'll hear these announcements made tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday, and also be getting that information to our brother Imam Mikhail Sahir, and perhaps he can make those announcements on his production so that we'll be ready to tune in, listen in, but also it won't intervene in terms of you breaking your fast and making your Salat Maghrib and then your iftars with your family and community. Also, we want to remind you that we want to support our beloved sister Fitcher Muhammad, who is the producer and CEO of Study Al-Islam. And it will begin a little earlier this year as the focus and highlight will be on the 99 known attributes of Allah. I didn't say the 99, the 99 known attributes of Allah. It will begin March 30th. That'll be this Wednesday, 2 days from now. It'll be this Wednesday, and you can download. If you're in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, it'll be 10 a.m. Central Standard Time Zone, it'll be 9 a.m. And if you're out on the West Coast, Pacific Coast Time, it will be 7 a.m. your time. The new number you want to dial in for that live is 717-908-1837. That's once again, that's 717-908-1837. The passcode is still the same to get in. It is 684012#, 684012#. And that'll be happening each and every day during the month of Ramadan. And then they will have other guest speakers that will be making presentations in addition to taking on at least three of the attributes and names of Almighty God Allah. So you want to, you don't want to miss that. It's going to be a lot of great information. And we ask that you do support our beloved Sister Fitcher Muhammad. We also ask that you support the Muslim Journal. My good sister and my friend, Professor Aisha K. Mustafa, in terms of making contributions to the Muslim Journal and making sure that you can keep your subscription up, and if you let your subscription go, this will be an excellent time to renew it and find somebody in your family, friends, or a neighbor or a community member, maybe a pioneer, and this will be an excellent time to look at making an e-gift for them after Ramadan by purchasing a subscription to the Muslim Journal. If you're a Muslim, you should be reading the Muslim Journal, as it has supported us down through the years. Now it's time for us to continue to support it. So with that being said, I really have enjoyed this immensely. I hope that you have, in terms of listening in to preparing yourself for Ramadan and beyond. This excellent special by a very distinguished, esteemed host, Rashid Salam and Abdul Shaheed. So thank you so much. And so until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you. Well, Mark, we appreciate you.
Thank you.
So we are closing to the end. This is the first time we use almost every single hour. We've been on 2 hours and 52 minutes. We only have about 6 minutes left in the program. I mean, in the hours anyway. So I'm glad we all, but we didn't run into any difficulties. So inshallah, we'll have a chance to see you or talk to you again tomorrow, starting tomorrow. You had all the updates. And anybody have any questions, you have phone numbers you can call to get that information or the updates. My phone number is 650-669-0458. That's 650-669-0458. So we want to thank you so much for showing up tonight and being participatory. And we will see you tomorrow. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam.
Thank you.